Bus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. We're 19 days away from Ohio State and Ball State. Buckeyes will host the Cardinals Saturday, September 5th at 12:30. Ohio State announced on Friday Senior Day festivities will be held that day instead of the final home game of the season, as had been tradition. Ryan Day says it's to minimize distractions and keep the team's routine the same, as this year would have been the game against Michigan Saturday, November 28th. The high school football season begins this week. Olentangy Orange will travel to Olentangy Berlin for the fans' game of the week Friday night at 7. In baseball Sunday, the Marlins beat the Reds 7-1 in Cincinnati. Redlegs dropped 2-3 over the weekend. They'll host the Cardinals Monday in a doubleheader. First pitch there is 1:40. It's a makeup of a late May rainout. Cleveland's got Monday off. Guardians were shut out by the Padres on Sunday. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road, or online at germaintoyota.net.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Barry here.
Oh, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then it's a rundown. And then he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist: Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Monday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Isaiah in for Bake today. Where, and by the way, Reese, we may need to have a little discussion about this. Let me do the tease, and then we may need to. There may be an issue here with Bake that we may have to get to. 9:30, is there a backup quarterback battle at Ohio State? Seems like there might be. You don't even have to read between the lines. I think you just listen when somebody talks, and potentially there is one, and that could mean a lot of things down the road. 10 o'clock, we blitz the weekend. 10:30, Mr. Ward drops by as is customary. 11 o'clock, we are into two-a-days now. We'll do two NFL teams every day now. Until game week, we will start in the NFC West. We will hit the Rams, who are Super Bowl favorites, and the Cards, who are the opposite of that. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. Alex Clancy locks on Cards. I'm curious to ask him exactly what has happened with Marv, and if he will, at some point, this is the year that it bounces back, although with the quarterback situation there, hard to kind of tell that. So this was our last weekend of summer. This was it for the boys. Now, my wife wants to celebrate every single moment that happened this weekend as if it was the Last Supper. Now, I've said to them, my summer's been over. As soon as training camp starts for the Browns and the Buckeyes, summer's over at that point. That's the end of it. That's the end of the good times in terms of time off and all of those things. And so away we go. It's go time. We have kicked the toe to the pigskin and away we go. But she wanted to commemorate everything this weekend with special moments. So we had a nice meal, went out to a nice white tablecloth and went out to a nice meal. It's very possible. I read the fine print on the restaurant because I was curious, had a really good meal there. And I was reading up on a little bit. It's very possible that I tipped 35% on the bill. I didn't realize this until, so apparently they build in 15% automatically.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I didn't read the fine. It's on me. I didn't read the fine print and see the 50. I don't know. Maybe they should have said it before they handed the bill. Because who's going to look for all of those? By the time you have apps and salads and main and wine and cocktail and dessert, who's looking? It's on me. I should have just looked. But I'm pretty sure I tipped 35%. So that happy, very happy waiter on a Saturday night. I didn't realize that until midway through the day on Sunday. We did culminate our final series of me and Bootsy versus Beamsy and NBC. We've been playing 2-on-2 with those teams for, good grief, probably since Bootsy was, he's 10. I would say at least the last 6 years, we've been playing summer series, Bootsy and I versus those two. We won again, another series victory for us this summer. Got down 2-0 in the best of five yesterday, but then rallied for three straight wins to take the summer series. So that was very nice. And then the plan was to go, we're going to go play golf is what we're going to do. And then it just downpoured. It just downpoured. And so that was kind of washed out. So you're kind of stuck a little bit at that point. And so NBC is like, oh, my girlfriend's friend is having a party, you know, going into high school. Can I go? And so my wife's answer to all of this is, well, yes, yes, never ending boulevard of green lights. I'm always a yellow. Actually, let's be very clear and honest. I'm a red and you can maybe get me to a yellow. Is usually how it goes. So I usually say, well, no, it's Sunday night. What are you doing? And then I allow for him to talk me off the ledge a little bit. You got to make your case to me why you ought to be able to do this. So inevitably he does. And I'm like, okay, it's fine. You're done by 11. That's fine. So this goes to tell you, this is just a little window into a rising freshman. So I have to go pick up his buddy because both their girlfriends are there and they want to walk in together. Okay, fine. So go and pick up the buddy. No problem with that. That's great. It's kind of sort of on the way, so no big deal. So we're about 15 minutes away. As we're driving there, I said, well, do either of you have the address? No. So we know the neighborhood, but we don't know the address. And I said, now I've been there before, like months ago at the beginning of summer. I think I took him to a party over there. And so I said, okay, fine. So I said, well, can you, I say to his buddy, LC, I say, LC, can you just, because it's his girlfriend's house. I said, can you just text your girlfriend and just get the address? Sure, coach. And he's on an app. He can't just text her. They can't text. Of course not. They got to go through Snap or Instagram or some nonsense. We can't just text somebody directly. So he can't get her. So now he's trying to call her, but he's not actually calling her. He's FaceTiming her. So then I said, while he's trying to do that, he can't have service. So then I look over to NBC and I said, dude, text your girlfriend. It's your girlfriend's best friend. She knows the address. Text your girlfriend. What does he do? Tries FaceTiming her via Snapchat. Can't you just call her? Can you just call her? Can you text her? No, nobody does that, Dad. Nobody texts. They don't text. That's not how we do it. I said, I'm about efficiency here, okay? We're driving around aimlessly. By the way, he has no sense of direction. At one point, he goes to me, why don't you go by the club? Going by the club is at least 10 minutes out of the way, like in the opposite direction. I said, why would I can't explain sense of direction to you, son, but that ain't the way, okay? That is definitely not the way. So I said, I tell you what, I'll bet you, he goes, we're only 5 minutes from there. I said, we're not 5 minutes from anywhere, bud. I said, I'll bet you $5 we can't get, and you know how betting goes with me and him. Usually he does quite well. I said, I'll bet you $5 that we are not 5 minutes from there in any way, shape, or form. Of course we weren't. We were 12 from the time he told me to go 10 minutes out of the way. You know how I finally found out the address? I went in my Tesla, has like the history of drives, and I found the one from June. Those two geniuses never got the address because they were trying to do it through Snap or some other nonsense app as opposed to just texting the girl. And that, my friends, by the way, and then we're supposed to pick him up at 11. His phone dies at 10. The last thing I heard from him is that he was staying at a buddy's house. Didn't ask, just was staying at a buddy's house. So inevitably, he did get home and the rest is history. But that is what raising a 14-year-old is like for those of you who have the little kids and think you're really looking forward to it. You're not.
Yeah, you guys don't. Long and short. It's not being sold very well.
No.
Really any of that process.
No.
Boy, that a wild weekend. And hopefully everybody's doing all right. You know, if you've seen the images out of German Village where there's literal flooding after storms on Saturday and then the waking up. Or coming out of a slumber Saturday night to sirens in Grandview is always a wild thing because for the longest time, you know, a funnel cloud's never touched down in that part of Northwest Columbus. But obviously we had last week with one actually touching down an EF1 in East Columbus. I think still power out in some parts of Northwest Columbus. So hopefully everybody's kind of coming out of what happened last week, but crazy everywhere.
This late summer, crazy extreme. Like, we don't live in Oklahoma City. This is not in the brochure.
Yeah.
We don't have this.
Always remember, so the house that my girlfriend and I live in now, we moved in 2 years ago, and it was July. And that August, it was so dry, the grass was brown before September. Yeah. Yep. And now it's you're kind of stomping out wet patches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been brutal for a week straight. And I know today it's brutal, too, which brings us to a little birdie. Mr. Isaiah said something to me right before the show, because I said, well, where's Bake? You know, Reese, I don't read emails. And he goes, I said, where's Bake? And then you say, what?
And I say, I think he's playing golf today in some sort of Tito outing. Oh. And I said that as I walk into the studio and I look out the doors and I say, yeah, it's pouring down rain. Golf wouldn't be fun in the rain.
Here's the reality. I begrudge no one time off. Take all your time. In fact, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people don't take their time. Take your time. You need your time. You need a clean slate. I'm not going to bug you on your time off. And I don't expect to be bugged unless it's a case of emergency on my time off. That's your time, man. You need a clean slate. You take time off of this show to participate in something with Tito?
It's choice. I was ready to give him flowers, too, when we blitzed the weekend at 10 o'clock.
Sure.
Because he had a Friday night that is award eligible, in my opinion.
I look forward to that.
Well, not anymore. No.
This is what he gets, though. You get the deluge for taking a day off to golf with Tito.
Word on the street is, I asked Tito yesterday, he's in contention for winning the summer series that Tito puts on. So there's a lot on the line today, clearly.
Them playing
today. That makes
today.
It worse. Yeah. I hope for no catastrophe. I hope those of you who are underwater, I pray that you can get out. I don't want anyone. I wish no ill will. I just want an absolute monsoon over whatever golf course they're playing at.
I mean, this is Caddyshack. Oh, the worst of it's
that's what
through.
I want. Yeah. That's what I want. I want him in the water with waders on trying to win this ridiculous thing that Tito put together, taking off a Monday show to go hang out with Tito. That is outrageous. By the way, how is Tito conducting a summer series that has a Monday golf?
Because Jeff Fitoff.
Exactly.
Must have been a big discount today, that Monday round.
Monday is the cheapest time to get in.
Oh, of course.
We're just taking days off to play Tito's ridiculous version of the Live Tour. All right, we got a lot to get to, including a lot of college football. Ryan Day snuck one under the radar on us, or tried to, on a Friday news dump. I think it was Coach Day's decision. I'm not particularly fond of it. And which is rare, usually pretty on board with most of the things he does. We will get to that one. We'll get to his comments on Saturday on the quarterback competition behind Julian Sands. Some interesting comments there as well. We're off and running on a Monday edition. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Buckeyes are number one. And you can hear all the games here on The Fan, which is also number one. Coincidence? I think not. Your home of champions, The Fan. Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
For the afternoon, some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms do remain possible. Otherwise, more clouds than sunshine, humid, highs in the lower 80s. Overnight, mostly clear skies develop. We'll watch for some areas of fog. For your Tuesday, morning fog, then mostly sunny and somewhat less humid, highs around 81. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And homes in Columbus know that August brings those aggressive yellow jackets and wasps. Don't wait for an invasion. Protect your property and your family with Rose Pest Solutions Home Service Programs. Pretty simple. The Rose Home Service Program provides year-round protection, one flat annual fee, regularly scheduled visits. Rose is local, family-owned, and trusted by your neighbors in Ohio for over 165 years. Get peace of mind. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. This one dropped Friday after we were off the news of this. It was afternoonish, I think, when it dropped. I started to get texts about it about halfway through the afternoon is the way that it seemed to me. So the idea is this. Instead of Senior Day being before the Michigan game in 2026, Ohio State's going to host their senior day ceremonies in the season opener against Ball State. This was in a news release on Friday that will recognize its senior class before the 12:30 kick on September 5th and what Ohio State expects to be a meaningful and celebratory start of the season. Of course, it has traditionally been before the Michigan game. Here's Coach Day. This was Saturday on the idea of moving senior night to the Ball State game.
Yeah, it first came to me from our administration as an idea, and we talked about it. Had long conversations about it. The traditions at Ohio State here are significant and very, very strong, and something that we all respect. And what we don't want to do is, do anything that's going to disrupt any of those traditions. But when we look at all the things that go on that weekend, the way things have changed, there's some things that we thought about. And I think the first thing was if we want to keep that game, much of that game, the focus on the game. And the more distractions we have, there's already enough distractions during that week. And so this was just one more thing that we felt like we could move. Then when we started to look at just, the way that college football is now, recognizing seniors, someone like Brandon Ennis is a little, maybe a little different than Earl Little. And so we thought about maybe moving it up a week. And then we said, well, why don't we just recognize all the seniors at the beginning of the year, let them know how much we appreciate everything they've done, and then kind of, move on with the season. And sort of a different way to look at it. And so what we did is we brought it to the seniors to see what their take on it was. Because we didn't want to do it without, their support. And I wasn't sure what to expect. They all were nodding quickly and said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. So we went with it, and we think it's going to allow us opportunity to really, kind of recognize them early in the season and then focus on the games.
Love Coach Day. Love most of the administration. Don't love this. I don't love this. I think this is overthinking it. I think this is silly. I think he makes a point there at the end where he talks about recognizing Brandon Ennis versus Earl Little Jr. as two very different things. Yeah, it is. There's no question. Maybe the other thing he's referring to is maybe those senior classes get bigger and bigger because of transfer portal coming forward, where all of a sudden, instead of really, announcing 10 to 15 guys, it could be 20 every single time. My view of that is, so what? I don't think it takes away from the game. They do it up there. We do it up here, down here. There's been wins and losses both ways doing it. I don't think a senior day changes anything. And I think what you're going to lose here is perspective. You're going to lose the perspective. One of my favorite things on senior day is listening to the various roars that come from the crowd predicated based on the player who's introduced. And so you kind of wait to see how they are going to respond, like who is their favorite guy. And I always think it's fun to see how the coaches kind of put them in order and try to get that order right. I've referenced this many times. There are a few things that's been more moving to me as someone who's covered Ohio State football than Johnny Simon walking out on one leg on his senior day in 2012. And everything that we all knew he did, and then even the stuff we didn't know until much later that he did to try to play in that game, and tears streaming down his face and hugging Urban and all of the things that came with that. And there's so many of those. I remember DeVere's really well. It was against Penn State, and it was the only game he got to play that year. And I remember the crowd for him, and I'm like, be good to him. Like, he did not deserve everything that came his way. Be good to him. And they were. They knew it because it's a sophisticated football audience and they know the difference. And I just don't think that this is necessary in any way. And I do think that it is going to minimize what senior day is all about, because I'm going to tell you what, Ball State at 12:05 recognizing seniors, that place is going to be half full, maybe a little more than half full just because it's first game. It's the opener. So maybe a little bit more, but it's not going to have the same feeling to it at all. It's not going to have the same juice to it. I will acknowledge Ryan makes a very good point there where he talks about all seniors are different and this is an evolution of that. I'm not going to minimize that. I think some of that's very real, but I also think that this is one of those traditions that probably should have stayed.
And I'm disappointed that that's how this news hit me. Cause I remember 06, the indelible image of Troy Smith, yep, as the Matador running out for senior day and embracing Jim Tressel. And, with the era of college football that we're in, certainly his point's valid, where the seniors from the portal, you treat they're just different Buckeyes than the seniors that have stuck with this program for years. But I think the season they play, their senior season at Ohio State, they can they can earn a place in Buckeye lore that can be celebrated with the final home game of the season. And so if that wasn't going to, I mean, senior day, the Michigan game, there's just nothing like it. There's nothing like that crowd. There's nothing like that warm embrace. Again, especially if it's a Earl Little All-American season that you get to finally honor him as a Buckeye at the end against that team up north. And you get to celebrate 100%. All of that with a win against the all-time rival. Is there's just nothing like it. And so to do it earlier in the season, I don't love, I guess if you're going to not do it on the final home game of the year, Ball State, the game, I guess the calendar makes sense because it's going to be the first game of the season and Ohio State fans are going to be so excited to have football back. And there's going to be that warm embrace on what's going to be a warm day on September 5th. So that's probably the best time to do it if you weren't going to do it the final home game of the year. But when Ryan Day says he asked the seniors and the seniors were okay with it, then I have to step back and be like, as long as they're okay with it, that's fine. But I keep thinking that maybe this is overthinking.
It is overthinking. That's the very first thing that when I saw this news come out, it felt like, and we saw last year with Ryan Day just trying to make the Michigan game the most normal week of all time. He doesn't want anything to be different. He just wants them to be able to focus on the game. I understand that, but there are certain traditions that you can't try to evade to try to make that game feel normal. And this is one of those that, and I would even understand if they maybe still had it at the end of the year. Maybe you move it off the Michigan game, but it's the Northwestern game. Maybe it's the second or third to last game of the year. That would feel better because then you're celebrating the accomplishments these seniors were able to make along the way, because they're seniors that are on the team this year that haven't got to play yet. They're trying to make their mark. Mm-hmm. And so the very first game of the year against Ball State, they haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. And so it feels like a preemptive celebration. It almost feels like doing it the first game of the year is just, let's get it out of the way. Let's just get it done. Get it over with. It's one thing that probably Ryan Day and the coaching staff, which I understand, the pregame nonsense is annoying for coaches. Like anything that happens that's weird during the pregame is another thing that takes away. But this is one of those things that's just a part of the process you have to accept. You can't avoid it. And I feel like it was a miss moving it to the beginning of the season, just trying to get it over with and have it be one less thing to worry about at the end of the year.
You both brushed on it. How are we supposed to have, and I said this when I first made the comments about this, how are we supposed to have perspective on Earl Little Jr.? How are we? We have no idea. We hear good things, right? But we don't have a whole season to appreciate what he is going to do in Scarlet and Gray. We have what he did at Florida State. We hear about how good he's looked so far, but we don't know him. How could I possibly appreciate him? So he is very, very different than Brandon Ennis, but also he didn't even get the chance to have like a Will Howard season. A Seth McLaughlin season where you could appreciate how great they were over the course of the year. So like the recognition that is given to him is going to be a little bit less. I think that if you want to move it off of the Michigan game because of all of the stuff that goes around that, then that would be fine. I think Isaiah, you're onto something with just the opener ain't it. And it's too bad they can't get some sort of clarity. I'm saying this out loud, acknowledging that they have no control over any of this, but it's too bad they can't get some clarity on, hey, this is going to be your night game. We're going to get you this night game. Because then, you know, a night game in October, then you get a chance to have, you know, a not really nice crowd. It's a Big Ten game. It's in a, you know, those type of things. Plus you get a little bit of perspective on the players. In the opener, you don't have any. You know, think of the group of seniors. Like we've got a charming interview with James Smith with us, but like no one's seen him play in Scarlet and Gray. Nobody knows. So like, how are you going to properly honor guys who haven't done anything to be honored yet other than choose to wear the jersey?
And you think about last year with Caden Curry. Like last year, Caden Curry is a perfect example of someone that came in and had a fantastic year. Yeah. And if we honor him the first game of the season, do Buckeye fans appreciate him like they would have at the end of the year? Absolutely not.
No, probably not. So that's, Look, we'll see how this goes. Things can always head back. This one feels like a little bit of an overthinking on the part of Ohio State here, thinking a little bit too hard on something. A couple other things in terms of the stadium. There will be blackout and scarlet outs again this season. They do not have the dates yet, but Buckeye fans are encouraged to wear black on the all-black tunnel vision game uniforms, then the full scarlet out when they wear the scarlet over scarlet. So we'll get the calendar on that once we know. Go ahead, Reese.
Maybe give the dates. Because it does say,
what do you think that's about?
With this reveal, Ohio State will have its uniform combinations and corresponding field design elements on the Friday before each game this season. So being an Ohioan, I would like to think that they would give Ohioans maybe a week to plan and prepare for the Saturday game, for the Saturday attire, for the Saturday stadium coordination. The day before, that's a little, that's not enough time in my opinion.
Yeah. I got news for you, too. I think the only one that works of our color scheme is scarlet. All the rest of them, because you see the smattering. They try to do a gray out. There's a smatter. You see a smattering of red. The black, there will be a smattering of red. Black should be okay. There's a lot of black Buckeye gear out there. But everybody's got a red hoodie. Everybody. So that's the one that typically lands best with that. On the field, quite a bit of news going on, it appears, at Buckeye Camp. Do we have a quarterback competition? We may, but not the way maybe some of you thought last summer. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Monday edition of the program. We are inching closer to football season. High school football starts this weekend. The Buckeyes to follow, and then, of course, the NFL after that. Ohio State with all eyes on Texas Week 2. That opener, of course, will be the aperitif for the big Longhorn battle the following Saturday. As for where things are with camp, we were there the first 3 days, and then they've been at True Camp in the time that has followed. There is a friend of the program who is nicked up a little bit, and that's our buddy Austin Saravold. He was on with us a week ago Thursday. Here is Coach Day on the Saravold injury and where it stands.
I think we have to do what's best for Ohio State, and then we go from there. Now it's our job to put him in a position to be successful, but when you're looking at that, it's... You take a lot of things into consideration. Take into consideration the run game, you know, obviously the passing game, experience, how that move affects the other four guys on the line, the communication. I will say this. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. They just came off that field feeling really good just about where they're at, the work that they're putting in. They're communicating at a high level. And so, you know, that part is good. You know, who ultimately and where in the first game, you know, are going to be the five guys and where are they going to be? I think we still have to sort through that this week. But I think we all, you know, go to bed at night knowing that we're going to have enough. It's just how it all shakes.
So this is not thought to be any sort of serious injury. But what this does allow for is it allows for them to kind of continue to monkey with who plays where on the offensive line. And so the depth there is really good this year. A lot of guys coming back. They buttressed it a little bit in the portal, but obviously he's your best guy and you want to make sure that he's healthy, but this does allow some others to step up. And so we'll see where that all shakes out over the next couple of weeks. Again, Texas is in the opener this year. It's week two. So that changes a little bit the way you kind of view all of these things with all respect to Ball State. As for the running back room, one of the most noteworthy things that we noticed when we were out there the first 3 days of camp is that it was not Bo Jackson running with the ones. Now, Bo was nicked up a little bit in the spring, and so there was probably a little bit of that and maybe a little bit of something else. I'm not sure, but here is Coach Day on Bo and the camp he's had since.
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, his reads and the way he's hitting the hole has really shown up. But I think he's doing a much better job at the second level. And we've talked about it before, either running over him or you're running around and making a miss. And you're seeing that. It's showing up on film. It did not show up on film last year. We all know it. He knows he's been challenged. Coach Locke has been challenged. And so, you know, based on the habits he's creating, I think we're going to see that this year. Now, again, it's just practice, so it doesn't matter until he puts it in a game. But if he continues to keep building and practicing and stacking these practices the way he's doing it, it's going to show up in the game. And that's going to be a big part of who we are this year. You know, we felt like, you know, there was a lot of good there last year, but there was also a lot of football that we left on the field. And so a big point of emphasis that so far he's been responding to.
Yeah, I think you can read into that what you will in terms of some of the comments there from Ryan where he talks about how he responded to things positively. Sometimes you just, it's just a little missile across the bow and you just say, hey, we got other guys here too. Are you locked in? And he's responded very, very well. I'll tell you this. If you play the college football video game, he's the key to the whole operation. Like you got to run the ball or else you have no chance in that game. That I've gotten no better at that in the days that have followed. Still continue to suck, which is disappointing. Actually I had to give up with NBC. We were playing yesterday. And we went bang, bang, score. And I'm like, yeah, I'm done. He's like, come on, keep playing. I'm like, no, dude, you're better. I'm old. I'm not good at this anymore. I don't know what happened. I'm just not. Enjoy yourself. And that's it. Like he wanted to win like 49-0 and just me to sit there and just throw 1,000 interceptions and just like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And he was playing with Cal for God's sakes. Now I wasn't the Buckeyes. I was UCLA, but still.
Cal's got a pretty good quarterback.
Oh, I heard all about it. Yeah. Heard all about the quarterback. Now, unlike you, he doesn't know how to pronounce his name, but we won't hold that against him considering he's 14. But
does it fit on the back of his uniform in the game?
It does. It does fit on the
back of his uniform. That's the impressive thing right there is that the equipment staff can get Sagapolutele on the back of it.
That guy versus Nico Amalieva, that's a hell of a quarterback back and forth when you get that matchup out there. Our quarterback's name is easier to say, Julian Sain. His development under Arthur Smith, Coach Day mentioned that as well over the weekend.
Well, he's had a good offseason in terms of really found his voice. He's very much more assertive even at this time last year. And that combined with his knowledge for what we're doing on offense, you know, he and Billy spent a lot of time together, but, you know, so does Julian and Arthur. And so, you know, they are having a lot of fun together, I think. You know, and the fact that, you know, Arthur's going from Aaron Rodgers to Julian Sain, and I think Julian sees, like, what a great way to, like, learn the game. You know, when one of the best all-time quarterbacks was working with Arthur last year and vice versa. And now, like, there's just things that, you know, they get to share and experiences, and I think it's been great. But to me, it's more about, you know, how that offensive line and those receivers and those tight ends and running backs are going to play for him at the end of the day. He's the leader, and he's going to be the one that's going to have to make the play when the money's down in these big matchup games in the fourth quarter. And a big part of it, like a big part of being a quarterback is, you know, those guys have to want to make the play or get that first down because of the quarterback. And, you know, he's doing a really good job of that. I think that, you know, they believe in him now, but, you know, we still got a lot of work to do. And but that's what the preseason's all about. Earning that and trying to put them in situations as a coach to see where they can continue to learn and grow in those areas.
Yesterday morning, I was driving around listening to On the Money, and Scotty had a great line. We were talking about the bite we're about ready to play with Coach on Luke Fahey, and Scotty said, you know, the guy I really wanted to see in spring was Tavian St. Clair, because no one is ever more popular in a town than the backup quarterback. We're always curious about what is next. And Tavian, 5-star out of Ohio, all of those things. His little brother moved to Arlington. Like, all of these things are happening, and it gets you pretty excited about what's next. It's not at all, I don't think, in any way, like, any shot at Julian, because the same thing has happened with almost every quarterback. We're always curious about the guy behind the guy. It's just human nature to be curious about what is next. It's part of the way that college football works. And Bids kind of threw a little water on it. And I think accurately so, based on this comment here from Coach Day on Luke Fahey.
He got his black stripe off today. He's been really doing a great job. He's putting a lot of pressure on Tavian. He really is. He's been competing. He's been making plays. You know, we'll see how he grades out. Coach Fessler grades everything. So, you know, that's been exciting to see him, you know, come in with a certain work ethic, run the offense, you know, at a pretty high level. So we'll kind of see how the rest of the camp plays out. But good to see him kind of step in and push Tavian.
So he is Luke Fahey. Let's get to know him real quickly here. So he is a true freshman. He was a 3-star recruit out of Mission Viejo, California. Very, very successful high school career. Pretty sure he won a state championship out there at a school that's certainly known for producing college football talent at a high level. So he's a winner, first and foremost. Second of all, he really knows how to operate. And if this happens and Fahey passes Tavian, then that is a massive red flag for Tavian right away. I mean, like right away. because he's been here a year. There's no scenario where he should be passed like that if he is indeed who everybody thought he was in recruiting. So that'd be a red flag for him. And then hopefully it is a little bit of a shot in the arm too, because the last thing anybody around here wants is if Julian goes to the NFL after this year, as most of us expect that he would. If that happens, the last thing anybody wants around here is Ohio State to have to go into the portal for a quarterback. That's the last thing you want to do. Quarterbacks are expensive. Quarterbacks mean you can't spend on other part of the rosters. This is one of the things that is, I think, really critical to Ryan, is that they develop the quarterback. That's something that means a lot to him. It worked the one time you did it with Will. Cannot deny that it worked when that happened. Justin was a little different. That was before NIL and free transfer. So his was a little bit different. But Will's was the truly, we don't have anybody good enough in the room. We got to go find one. That's not a spot that you want to be in. Now, it could also be that Fahey's just been awesome, that he's just a gamer, you know? And Bid said this yesterday and on the money, might be exactly right. Fahey's 5'11". If he's 6'2", he's probably a five-star. That's probably accurate. Bids doesn't throw that around lightly, so that's probably very accurate. But this was an attention getter when I saw this, Reese.
5'11"'s tall. I'll just say that right now.
Me too.
Thanks.
I saw it as this is a young quarterback pushing another young quarterback. Like it when we were moved in the Friday camp practice inside, and Tavian St. Clair was going through reps, he put the ball on the ground. Mm-hmm. And you look at that in camp, especially, you know, in front of fans, is that something you cannot do. And he was the first one, I think, at that practice Friday to run a lap for turning the ball over, or for at least putting the ball on the ground where you're not supposed to as a quarterback. But if Luke Fahey is pushing Tavian St. Clair right now, I think it's better for both of them. And I think all that does is energize and incentivize everybody else to work their asses off. Speaking of working your asses off, the guys at 11 Warriors did the work and found that Fahey became the third fastest quarterback to lose his black stripe under Ryan Day. Only Julian Sain and Kyle McCord had quicker stripe times from losing that thing. So
that's a good job out of them.
All of this works, I think, in favor of the future of this Ohio State program. Because, look, regardless of how you feel about the senior day being Ball State, I do think Ohio State's going to get the opportunity to clear the benches and get all those seniors out there against the Cardinals. But I implore you, for the 37,000th time, you get 30 points up on Ball State and you give QB2 the full complement of Ohio State's offense. Well, then Luke Fahey or Tavian St. Clair, get them out there, get them meaningful reps this year. You have a couple of opportunities to do so. Not too many, but a couple.
And preferably not just handoffs. I'd like to see them throw the ball a little bit in the third and fourth quarter. I know that Ball State probably doesn't want that if we're up 40-0, but at the same time, you'd like to see these quarterbacks get real game reps. And this could also be a situation where Ryan Day is attempting to push Tavian St. Clair. I mean, he came in as the five-star. Obviously, Fahey, kind of the underdog in the competition, but the best way to get your best players to play good is by lighting a fire under them and pushing somebody behind them and saying, hey, this job isn't yours. We don't want the keys to be handed to Tavian. That's the last thing Buckeye fans should want is, hey, here are the keys. Take the golden ship and sail away. He needs to be pushed, and this is the best way to do it. Have another quarterback in the competition. Whether Fahey's right behind him or not, Ryan Day should act like Fahey is on his heels the entirety of the time that Tavian's the backup. And then if Julian... forbid it. I hope it never happens. If he does go down, that's when you can truly find out who Ryan Day has more trust in. At this point, it feels like he could just be pushing Tavian.
Yeah, I think it's real. I do think it's real. I think Fahey's been that good, and I think, you know, there's some issues, Tavian, just operationally, right? So you guys bring up a good point, though. Those fourth quarter reps are invaluable. And whether it's Tavian or Fahey, whichever one it is, they need real reps. If you're going to put Julian in harm's way and everybody out there wants him to run so much more, I don't, for the record. I don't get out of bounds, slide, don't take hits, don't do any of that stuff. But if you're one of those folks who does that, those two better get some reps, because it's a football Ferrari you're going to hand the keys over to, and they got to be able to drive the damn thing. And so that's pretty critical. All right, coming up next, busy sports week, Andy. Former Buckeye had himself a day in preseason football as well. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
From a listener, what exactly is Common Man and Timmy supposed to be? How can I put this? A couple of immature men who love to have mindless conversation, laugh, and dabble in sports. And farts.
Weekdays at 3.
And there you go, The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, coming up at 10:20, we will break down what we saw from the Browns quarterback situation in their preseason debut against the Bears. It was good to have the football back. Full slate Thursday, then you had some games throughout the rest of the day this weekend. Max Clair, to the surprise of I don't think anybody around here, had himself a day. 7 receptions in his preseason debut. He was one of those guys that I thought would have a bigger impact here statistically than he ended up having. It just felt like it was kind of made, he was kind of made to play tight end here and have a big, big year. And I think his long-term prospects in the league were probably helped by playing here from the standpoint of, they made him block. They made him block. And I think that is going to allow for him to have, he put on weight in a big way. And so that made him block, and that's going to allow for him to have a big career. We're going to do the Rams in 2-a-days coming up in an hour and 10 minutes. There's no holes here. And I think he could have an impact on a team that's got dudes everywhere, quite honestly. So good for him. And it looked like, by the way, that to the surprise of no one, I've seen pregame isolation videos of Caleb, of Sonny, of Arvell, and they all thrived to the surprise of nobody there.
There's an Instagram account that I found over the weekend. No, it's not Booties and Foodies. It's some guy found the all 22. From every NFL preseason game, and had Sonny's, had Arvell's, had Caleb Downs all 22, and like showed all of their snaps. And for those three, it's like, yeah, they're ready.
That's like what I was saying. I've never seen anybody do that before, Reese. I don't know how I got. I guess that's our algorithm as Buckeye players.
Does that say more about us than anything? I don't know.
Be better if it was, what were you saying, bottles and booties?
Booties and foodies.
That would have made more sense, maybe. But a lot of people are terrified of like a girlfriend, significant other seeing their For You page on Instagram. Not me. It's just football. It's just, Buckeyes.
I just got Sonny Styles.
Oh, let me see that. What do you have in here? Click.
Ron Fitz and Arvell Reese.
All 22 video of Arvell Reese preseason debut, I guess, is what you're really into. That's great. But yeah, it was kind of fun to see that, to see those guys start to go and start to make an
just
impact.
Just look like they belonged.
Yeah.
Right away is such a cool thing. And I like the preseason a lot more than ever because of the overreactions to it. Like with Ty Simpson, the quarterback of the LA Rams, like, did they finally get a successor to Matt Stafford? It's like, well, I don't know about that, but I sure love hearing about that.
I don't know if you can answer those questions. I'll just say, like, let's use Drew Aller. He had himself a dandy debut for the Steelers, right? Will was pretty good too, but Aller was the star. Threw three touchdowns, all of those things that happened in the game. Do I think it matters, you know, whoever replaces Aaron Rodgers, that Drew Aller had a nice debut on a preseason Thursday night in Pittsburgh? No, I probably don't. But I think it's better that he played well than he didn't. So does this mean anything down the line? No. But I think if you look completely out of your depth, I've seen very few guys who make their NFL debut at quarterback in the preseason, even high picks, whatever. And if they're out of their depth, they somehow get it right. You should at least start competently out of the huddle. You should at least start being able to zip the ball around the field. You should be able to at least do those things. Hell, I remember Brady Quinn. I was at his preseason debut up in Cleveland.
And
it was unbelievable. That was the first thing I ever done live on Channel 10. We did like a pregame show because the game was airing on Channel 10. So we did like a pregame show because Brady was making his debut. And then he came in, and my guy went bing, 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 and they win the game. He comes in because he was late reporting to camp. There was a holdout thing, if memory serves. And I remember Brady like came over. I was in town like for 2 months. Brady came over. I had him live on Wall-to-Wall Sports. He was shouting out Mark Crabtree, the Dublin Kaufman coach. Like, it was awesome. So you can have debuts, and you can fall flat. I haven't seen a guy fall flat in their preseason debut who flips it around. Usually you have to look competently. So I think that's the minimum requirement here.
It feels like it buys you a little bit of time. I even think a couple years ago with DTR, he had a really great preseason, got Browns excited for him. And then maybe that gives you a little bit more time. Maybe you get the angst of the fans off your back, and then your coaches see that in the preseason games. And then you can at least get labeled a gamer. If you can get labeled a gamer, hey, if he goes, he might not look good in practice, but if he gets in there, we've seen him look good in games before. Maybe he'll just look better on the actual game field than he does in the practice field.
Didn't DTR beat Pittsburgh? Pretty sure he didn't he quarterback them in... I think he quarterbacked them to a win over the Steelers in the regular season. I think it was right after Deshaun went out. I think I was at the game.
Yeah, he's 1-0.
Is he?
Yeah.
Against the Steelers?
13-10. Yeah. This is the summary. DTR led a clutch late game drive, completing four consecutive passes to set up a game-winning field goal.
There you go. That's what I thought. I thought I was at that game up there. Yeah. That's the way it goes. Do I need to pay attention to baseball, or can we be done with
it, Reese? It's good. Forks in them both.
They're done.
As Guardians fans, I think we're good for now. Maybe if they turn it around, we'll talk about it later. But for now, I think we're good.
And I was even stupid enough to say, well, they went all in at the trade deadline. Feels like it could be a run coming. And all I want to do is run away.
We should have known, Reese, that that now means if they go all in on the trade deadline, now they can just say, this is why we don't do this.
Well, they're locking them out next year, so it's fine.
You guys see?
We ignore them for 365 more days.
This is what you wanted us to do. Now we did it. And this is the result you get. Let us do our thing. Let us do our thing.
Yeah, let us cook. Idiot.
Second hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off by blitzing the weekend. Mr. Ward will join at 10:30. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Where can you listen to the number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes? On Columbus's number one station. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Making a
live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese, sir. The high school football season starts this week, and the Fan's going to have a game of the week every Friday at 7 p.m. until the end of the regular season. Week one's a battle of Olentangy. The defending D1 champs, Olentangy Orange, are at Olentangy Berlin, with Tyler Danberg on the call Friday night after the Buckeye Show. Ohio State's 19 days out from their season opener, Saturday, September 5th against Ball State. Buckeyes will hold Senior Day festivities before that game against the Cardinals. Ryan Day announced on Saturday Ohio State's moving Senior Day celebrations away from the final home game to keep his team's routine the same, as this year would have been the game against Michigan Saturday, November 28th. Buckeyes are back to practice this morning at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. College football games in week zero start next Saturday. This update sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com and make your reservation today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Monday edition of the program. Austin Ward coming up in 29 minutes from now, because Two-A-Days is happening in the 11 o'clock hour. It's time to blitz the weekend. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
Sponsored by Metal Supermarkets. Visit metalsupermarkets.com/Columbus for all your metal needs.
I believe I had that. Reese, what'd you have?
Oh, Gardos are done, kids. Said that going into the weekend. I think I'd watch them, and I did. I paid attention for most of the game Sunday, but boy, it was kind of disgusting and on in the background. So, thanks, Cleveland. They got shut out by San Diego. I think they've got San Francisco in town this week, and I'm not going to watch it. I probably will watch it.
You're going to watch it a little. I'm going to pull this up. I just want to see how desperate. Oh.
Yeah, there's six out of the Central. If they can't win the AL Central, nope, don't need any of it.
Mike's White Sox are going to win that thing?
Yeah, probably.
Holy cow. Canerco still playing first base?
I mean, they got the Pope.
Dude. They do have the Pope. That changed everything. Okay. There are one, two, three, four, five American League teams over 500. Five? Good night.
Brutal for the Gardos. It's been brutal. This past weekend, I was like, am I going to turn the game on? That's where I'm at with it. Do I turn the game on? It's felt like a chore as of late, which that's the frustrating part.
What did you have, buddy?
For me, it was, I am excited for the weapons. That's what I came out of Saturday thinking for the Browns. I'm excited for the young guys. And if you're a Browns fan, you should at least be excited for the weapons. Casey Concepcion looked like fun. He looked like a fun weapon that I'll be excited to see this upcoming season for the Browns. Denzel Boston, Harold Fannin, obviously bringing back Quinshon. It looks like the pieces of an offense that need a quarterback, but the pieces are there, which in seasons past, what's been the biggest complaint, especially for the quarterback? He hasn't had the weapons to let him fully succeed. Hopefully this season, the weapons are there. We'll see if they can succeed or not, but I'll be excited to watch for that.
They'll be fun. They'll be fun because of those weapons. I believe I had that I'm just a sucker for like the London mob underbelly. So I watched Mobster finish that. That was great. Wasn't exactly sure what happened in the finale or how to make sense of it. But that was fun. Then I saw that season two of that. Now I watched, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the other one. Theo James is in it. There's another one that Guy Ritchie
did. The Gentleman?
The Gentleman. So I watched that one like a year and a half ago. And then I found myself looking for something to watch last night while we were waiting on NBC. And I watched the pilot of that. I'm in. You give me London crime, countryside estates, dukes. I'm in on all of it. It all works for me. It's just one of the things that scratches me where I itch. What didn't you have, Reese?
I did not have myself with some hope coming out of the Browns preseason opener. And it's not for the quarterbacks, because I think they all stink. But when he had Quinshon Judkins take the first three snaps, or get the ball for the first three snaps, as soon as on third down, I'm like, nope, no more Quinshon. Because that, I think, can be the future of the offense. Or at least give you some hope that with the talent that they've accumulated in the draft, not the quarterbacks, this Denzel Boston's fun too. Like, okay, hope.
Yeah, they got some dudes.
I was listening to post game with Todd Monken, and he talked about how he was like, I know we can run the ball. We're going to be able to run the ball. But we got to see them be able to pass the ball.
He might need to stop running the ball.
Yes, we're going to have to see if they can throw the ball. But we all believe in Quinshon here. I did not have that. Tornado sirens this weekend. Jeez. Unbelievable. What is going on? This back end of summer here, the past week and a half, 2 weeks, when the electricity was off in my house for 2 to 3 days, I was like, man, this is probably the bottom of the barrel. Like, this is the worst it's going to get. And then just 3 days later, we're doing tornado sirens on a Saturday night at like 10 o'clock. Ridiculous.
All right. I did not have, and he shall remain nameless, I did not have that one of my uncles was going to call me this weekend because he wanted to talk about the WNBA.
Oh, no.
You're right.
That can only go one way.
You're right. I had no idea. I guess maybe just it's out of my... I'm not paying attention to it. I had no idea that an entire... I mean, I had some idea. I'm not a complete idiot, but like, I really am not paying attention. I had no idea that the WNBA had this summer culture war thing going on all summer long, apparently. I did not have that on the bingo card over the weekend, that I would have a WNBA conversation with my uncle. Player who impressed. Reese, who impressed?
Got to take in the Clippers Storm Chasers game on Friday. Joey Chestnut threw out the first pitch. He had an appearance from first pitch to like the end of the fifth inning, I think it was. And there was a line that wrapped almost all the way around Huntington Park of people. And he impressed me with just every single person. He was wonderful to. And we kind of did a couple laps just to kind of see how things were going. And people were instructing him on how to do TikTok dances. And he was such a great sport with all of it. And then at the end of the game, he took down 50 Carfagna's meatballs in 2 minutes and 31 seconds.
Jeez.
50?
God. That's incredible. That's a substantial meatball.
It was disgusting.
That would have
that
your
is
stomach.
A lot.
He was racing two teams of four, and these other two, I guess, four jabronis spent most of their time looking at what was going on next to them. Like, they were trying to eat meatballs, but I think they were just so amazed by this. He's not human, the way he can consume food.
No.
For me, player who impressed this weekend, we touched on him a little bit in the last segment, but after the Browns game ended, I was contemplating, do I take a nap? Do I take in more preseason NFL football? The Rams were on my screen. I wasn't entirely interested, but then I said, who is that tight end that just keeps catching pass after pass after pass? It's Matt Sclair. 7 catches. I think that's tied with the most he had at Ohio State the entire season last year. Did Matt Claire come a year too early to the Buckeyes? Would he have thrived with Arthur Smith? I say probably yes.
Yeah, probably. Also, probably a second-year starting quarterback versus a freshman. I think probably all of those things would have benefited. I'm going to go Luke Fahey here. I don't think there's any sort of mis-messaging here. I just think the kid's come in and been great. And I think they take notice of things like that. And he's come in and really gone after that job. And potentially it's one he's going to win. So I think that's been a really impressive thing to see a true freshman come in and put themselves in a position to make a mark on a team and a program. Player who disappointed, Reese.
I think Todd Monken's the right guy to lead the Cleveland Browns, but I was disappointed how he gave Quinshon Judkins the first three snaps of their preseason game, because I don't need to see Quinshon anymore in the preseason.
I was terrified. I'm like, what are we doing, like, coach? Stop. I love you, man, but come on.
But I think he's the right guy there. Just no more Quinshon, please, until September 13th.
No.
For me, this one, and this is kind of tongue-in-cheek, this isn't his fault, but it's Jamal Adams playing with the Minnesota Vikings. Went down with another knee injury, and they said Kevin O'Connell came out and said it doesn't look very good for Jamal. Obviously, he missed the entire 2025. He was in and out, and then it looks like he's going to miss parts, or if not the whole 2026 season here upcoming, for someone who had such a bright career starting just feels like a couple years ago. I know it's been longer now, but it's just been injury after injury after injury, and you hate seeing those ones.
Player disappointed for me, Bake. He took a day off to golf with Tito on a Monday.
That's why it's pouring out there.
Yeah. That's what you get, dude. Sad. Sad job out of you. We expect better here on the program. You take days off, that's fine, but spend time with Tito? Come on. Bud Kilmer, Honorary Coach of the Week, Reese.
I'm going to give it to parents at the Clippers game. You don't really get a full appreciation just in your everyday lives if you don't have kids, but ran into a loyal listener in front of the program, Chris, with his kids, and just the wrangling that parents have to do at these games. It's an incredible job. For the most part, kids are pretty well behaved, at least in my experience, a large part because the parents are spending so much time trying to wrangle them, while also like giving them such a great experience. So if you're at the Clippers game Friday night and you had your kids with you, that this is for you. As much credit as I can possibly give, as being someone who doesn't have kids, I was impressed with what I saw out of all of the moms and dads at Huntington Park.
That's a good job out, everybody.
Saw this story come out over the weekend. Willie Fritz, the head coach of Houston, sending out 10 handwritten letters to recruits every single week. And then growing up, my mom, she would always, whenever I could write a handwritten letter, she would always be like, you need to write a handwritten letter. Write them a letter. And I understand it now that I'm older. I hated it when I was a child. But this, in an era where it feels like everyone's just picking up the phone, a little old school sincerity from Willie Fritz, I love it.
You know who writes handwritten letters? Threes. Threes, big handwritten letter guy. Yep. A little bit about what that dude's all about. Bud Kilmer, Honorary Coach of the Week. All of the high school coaches that coach all of the fall sports, but especially football in the state of Ohio that are kicking off on Friday night. The responsibility you have is massive. The complaining you probably get is probably equally massive. The impact that you can have, though, trumps all of those. Some of the most important people in my life are my coaches from high school. They are the people who instill confidence, trust, help make you become a man if you're a boy, a woman if you're a girl, all of those things. That job is so, so critical. And when you, the difference between having a good one and a bad one is only the difference in the whole world. So when you have one of these guys who has the best interest of a community, of a kids, of a program, all of that, and you all row in the same direction, it's an awesome thing. When it gets sideways, it can be absolutely brutal. So all of you guys, good luck on your season, which kicks off this weekend. The Browns made their preseason debut in a game you heard right here on The Fan. Deshaun Watson got the first half. Shedeur Sanders got the third. What do we make of the quarterbacks? More importantly, what does Todd Monken make of his quarterbacks? We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on
The Fan, weeknights at 6 for The Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes. Yes, it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
For the afternoon, some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms do remain possible. Otherwise, more clouds than sunshine, humid, highs in the lower 80s. Overnight, mostly clear skies develop. We'll watch for some areas of fog. For your Tuesday, morning fog, then mostly sunny and somewhat less humid, highs around 81. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly eight decades of it. Browns make their preseason debut on Saturday in Chicago against the Bears. The Bears won the game 34-10. In preseason, of course, it's very little about who wins or who loses, but rather how the important people play. This was the first time we've seen Deshaun Watson, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, since October of 2024. Goes in the books 11-15, 126, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I think largely pretty good. I thought it was a little curious. They went run, run, run on that very first series, three straight runs, didn't get a chance to throw it. But then I thought his third series, he settled into it a little bit and started driving ball. That was the one where Casey Concepcion scored on that, and you started to see those weapons that you guys were referring to. I thought he probably left a play or two down the field on the field where he took a check down or kind of scrambled instead of standing there and throwing it. And obviously the one that where he has the turnover, which is just a muddy pocket, and you just can't have a turnover in that type of situation. But I thought by and large, he showed why, in my estimation, he has been kind of the better guy through summer and through the early part of camp. Shadur did get in the third quarter, played the entire third quarter, had probably the throw of the day on a deep over that, that he connected. I want to say with Gage Larvedan, or was it, no, was it the, it was Luke, Floria. I think it was Floria. Get the deep over on that one, but he did throw a pretty bad interception as well. So I think you saw the good and the bad with both. Todd Monken's been watching all of this. He was asked post-game if he's ready to name a starter. Here was his answer.
I'm not ready to say it yet. I mean, the plan was always to get through the Bills game, switch up who was going to start, who was going to play in the second half, and then we'll go from there. Every day is important. Monday is going to be important. Right? Being in the meeting rooms are going to be important. Listening to the players talk about what they saw, right? That's part of it too. What they saw, how they feel. We'll go to back to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, have a great practice against Buffalo. Then we'll walk through on Friday, and then we'll go compete our rear ends off against the Bills and see where we're at. And then we'll reevaluate then. We'll certainly watch it tomorrow and have an idea of how we thought our guys played. I mean, that's a part of it. That is a part of it. We're always in the evaluation process. And we're going to do the same thing as a coaching staff. I mean, there's certainly things we're going to look back at and say, how do we coach that better? How do we scheme it better moving forward? Who do we want to be moving forward?
One of the bites that certainly made the rounds over the weekend was Coach Monken talking about what he wanted to see from Deshaun and alluding to the fun of it all. Let's have a listen.
How comfortable he was leading up to the game, how comfortable he was in the huddle. Certainly there were things from a operational standpoint we can do better, but I wanted to see if he was enjoying himself. Was this still fun for him to play through the ups and the downs? Sure, he's not happy about certain throws that he could have made, a couple of them, that would have extended drills. Sure, he's thrilled about a quarterback sneak that we threw on him there to get a first down. But it was fun watching him play. It was fun.
So I think, what is your guys' sense of how that is being kind of thought of, what he said there, interpreted?
Well, I think it goes back to the old like football guy thing. Does he really love football?
Okay.
Is how I get the sense it's being interpreted. I didn't look into it as much because this is a guy who hasn't played football in a long time. And I do think it's fair to be like, is he still got it all? You just have to have it between the ears. Does he still have it between the ears?
For me, the one I get hung up on is it still fun for him to play through the ups and the downs? Because I think when he first came back, it was probably really tough on him. He goes back to Houston. He's getting booed at his home stadium. And so maybe just dealing with the adversity, I think that's probably one of the biggest hangups for him that's made him struggle more than anything, is just can he play while, if he does play bad, can he make it to where he's able to play good? Can he get through a game where he's going to throw a pick, but can he bounce back from it and stay out of his own head? Where is his own mental state? That's what I took away from it.
Yeah, I think you're both right. I think it's kind of both of those things. And I think that's pretty critical because essentially what happened with Deshaun, and we've talked about this a lot through the years. It's been a long time since he's been up there. One of the things we've talked is basically this is a little bit like the Tiger Woods thing, right? When everybody knows so much about you and you go from being universally beloved to all of a sudden being booed. And I mean, he was one of the more popular players in the league before all of this. And that was a long time ago. And then he's had all these injuries and everything else. And certainly that's going to be a mixed reaction from Browns fans if he indeed is the starter. So how he handles all of that is probably what Todd's looking for. And then can you just get back to being playing football? Right. I think that's the other thing that Todd was looking for. Like, are you just out here playing football again and not thinking about all of these other things, the injuries, off field stuff from years ago, all of that stuff? Can you just get back to playing football again and enjoying it the way that you did that made you a first round pick that at the time you were done in Houston, you were the all time leading passer in the history of the National Football League? Like, can you get back to that type of joy of just having fun again? I think that was kind of my read of it. I thought Watson was pretty solid. I think he left some things down the field that he would have liked to head back, and the turnovers obviously. I think some of the things that Dog hit in camp, and that he's really sometimes maybe he's a little too quick to take the underneath stuff. Is he risk adverse too much? Right, that's the thing that you're going to kind of watch for. Now the other side of it is Shadur, who's not really risk adverse at all. Like, he will push it down the field. It's a lot of fun for sure, and this competition is going to be his week this week. So he's going to get the Monday practice with the ones, he'll get the Wednesday practice with the ones, Deshaun will get the Tuesday, and then they will both get reps with the Bills in the joint practice on Thursday. Guys, that's the one I'm watching closely. Who gets the most reps against the Bills on Thursday? And then Shadur will start against Buffalo on Saturday. But of course, my guess is Buffalo's not going to play any of their starters, much like the Bears didn't. Here is Monk on Shadur's interception in the third quarter.
I'd love to see if there was a little push that got in his face. Looked like we had a, you know, clear out with a dagger concept, and looked like he was open. Looked like the ball sailed a little bit on him, a little bit like what happened with Dylan. I really, again, the positive thing is, they were both in the right place. I believe that. Again, I'll have to see the film, but I believe they were in the right spot, both interceptions. We had Gage on the one from Dylan. He just let it sail. Maybe the ball got a little bit wet. It was humid out there, but I like that part of it, that we're in the right spot.
I think he's got a lot to do here with this room. Number one, he's got to name a starter. Number two, they drafted Taylen Green in the sixth round. It's a sixth-round pick. But it is their sixth-round pick. And what I mean by their sixth-round pick, it is Andrew Berry and it's Todd Monken's sixth-round pick. So my hunch is that they want to have him around. So what do you do once you name the starter? How do you manage all of that? How do you decide who's the backup? How do you decide how many guys are we carrying on the initial 53? Once you get him to the initial 53, you can put him down. But inevitably, they'll be exposed to practice squad. So how are you going to manage all of that? How do you risk, like, is this a guy who would be claimed? Like, if we put this guy in waivers, will he be claimed? Like, you got to worry about, if we cut this guy, will he be claimed? Can we work him back to the practice squad? So underneath whoever they name the starter, there's about a billion questions about how they handle the other three. What were your guys' impressions of what you saw from Watson and Shadur?
So if you're going to use that as the barometer, then Watson starts September 13th. If you're using that game, I should say, and I know they're both against backups, but I think for what Monken wants is a quarterback that gives them the best chance to win. I think right now it's Deshaun. I think with Shadur, you've still got a lot of development to do there, and you got to ride a lot of highs, and you also got to ride a lot of lows. And in year one for Monken, I'm not sure he's interested. I wouldn't be either. And I don't blame him for not wanting to, you know, ride those lows with Shadur, because they're bad lows, because he's still a very unfinished product. So I think that's where I'm at with this quarterback competition. The guy that's ready to go now feels more Deshaun. And if you're Monken and you know, I don't think you need to waste any more time with these reps, because to your point about figuring out who your third guy is or your backup quarterback is, or who's gone on waivers or who's riding the practice pine, that has to start. That can't start until you name a starter. And we're running out of time here. August 30th is the 53 cutdown date.
Yeah.
And you also need to get these guys more reps so you can install your offense or the full complement or all of you want to do on offense, because those two quarterbacks aren't going to run the same thing.
Well, it's installed, but you're right, Reese, it's the variation of it. one variation of it is similar to what he ran in Baltimore with Lamar. The other variation is a little different. There's a quarterback run component with Deshaun that's not there with Shadur. So that you got to, I'm with you. Like, sooner the better.
I feel the same way. And I was, one of my takeaways too on Saturday was Deshaun was moving well. I was interested to see him just running around, obviously coming off the Achilles. He was moving well, which obviously that goes into the Lamar point of being able to have a little bit more of a rush attack with him if they're willing to use him that way. But it feels like Shadur has an uphill battle. I came into this thinking that Deshaun was probably firmly ahead in the competition, and I left Saturday thinking, after the performance Deshaun put together, not that I was blown away, but that he looked risk-averse. And if you're Todd Monken, first-time head coach, who's going to be more likely to lose as a game? And Shadur fans will say, well, Shadur was throwing the ball down the field. There's more big plays with Shadur,
yeah.
Which is true.
Conspiracy!
Which is true. He was throwing the ball down the field, but is that what Todd Monken wants? Does he want the risk, or does he want to see, hey, can we win with Deshaun being more conservative if I know that he's not going to turn the ball over? And right now it feels like maybe he has a little bit more trust there. We'll see what Shadur does on Saturday, but I think he'd have to put together a pretty good performance to overtake what Deshaun has already laid out.
Yeah, and you got to remember this thing goes back all the way to the spring, right? I mean, they've been competing since March, the two of them. So they've seen a lot of football, more than just a half. So again, the Thursday joint practice with Buffalo is the one to really mark, highlight that one, circle it, all of it. And then the Saturday preseason game, I think will have less impact. I think the one you're going to watch for is that Thursday preseason, or that Thursday joint practice against the Buffalo Bills. A lot of news came out of Ryan Day's presser over the weekend. We'll check in on all of it with Mr. Ward in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by Wright Pack Credit Union.
All right, buddy. I like Coach Day a lot. I support like 98% of the things he does. I can't get there on this Senior Day thing, man. I understand, I guess, a little bit like the thinking behind it. Where do you kind of sit with this now, a couple of days removed from the Friday decision?
Yeah, I think I understand the logistical reasons, and I think that I'm going to come down understanding of it, if not outright supporting. I don't have a problem with it, and I think so much of this stuff with the tradition of college football that you and I talk about all the time that is being sacrificed is incredibly unfortunate. Probably going to be an issue for the future of college football as we know it. But also not a lot of it has been done by Ohio State's choice. And so I think, you know, some of the stuff that resonates for me is thinking back to 2 years ago and a senior day before the game in late November, and not just the issue with dealing with the emotions and, you know, the tears and hugs and joy and everything else that goes into the buildup to that kickoff. And then not even just that they turned around and lost the game. I'm not pointing the finger at they didn't handle their emotions properly, because lots of Ohio State seniors have had that in pregame and then gone out and won gold pants. So I'm not drawing a correlation between those two, but that wasn't their last game in the horseshoe. They played 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later in a college football playoff game. Wasn't by Ohio State's choice necessarily, but that is the way that the impact of the college football calendar, the expansion of the playoff, the expansion of the Big Ten has impacted some of the things that we've always come to know and love. So, you know, they went through all of that, and it was supposed to be their last time in Ohio Stadium, and it wasn't. And they turned around, and they certainly played much better in that game. We all know that. But the point is that if that was supposed to be a send-off to the horseshoe, it really wasn't for those seniors. And so I think, you know, I said I had this conversation, you know, with some people last week about it. Like, if you'd asked me, and you're moving it off of the last Saturday of the regular season, you know, homecoming would seem like a more natural opportunity for me. But it's not my choice, obviously. I think, especially when you get into the complicating factors of, you know, 5 for 5 and transfers who might only have 1 year, and some of the unusual nature of what that might happen if they're being honored before they've ever even played a game. Might be their first time with a real crowd seeing them at the Horseshoe. So I don't, all that is to say, I understand why they're doing it. I don't know that it is perfect. I understand that there will also be people who are upset about it. But if none of the seniors who are going to be honored are, and if Ohio State and Ryan Day specifically, sort of like flying up to the Big House last year, if they are trying to treat that rivalry game in a more normal fashion, and that's helping them, I think I'd have to be in support of that for the Buckeyes as well. So I certainly understand the loss of tradition and that it's going to be unusual to see that for week one. But I hear all the reasons, and I actually do buy them.
I'm fine with some of it. I would also say that you hit on something that they ought to do, whether it's homecoming or the second to last home game, because how in the heck are you going to have perspective on what Earl Little is?
Right.
Introducing him before Ball State. We have no idea. No one's seen him play. Yeah. Like, do it in November. If you don't want to do it for the Michigan game, fine. Like, we've been doing it for 100 years. It's worked out fine most of the time. If you don't want to do that, fine. But, like, yep. Pick the last game of the year that's a Big Ten game so at least people know who he is. There's nobody at Ball State who's, I mean, not everybody consumes this the way that we do. I know we think that they do, but there's going to be a bunch of people who are casual Buckeye fans, not many, but there's going to be some that are there that don't even have an appreciation of what he is or what he's going to be.
Yeah, and I think they're also cramming a lot into the opener. But if we're just going to nitpick it for this particular year, you've got a season opener for one, but you're also going to be paying tribute to Jim Tressel. You're doing a lot of things in the pregame for this one where, and that's fine. If we're going to turn week one into a celebration of Ohio State football, I mean, it's hard to say no to that. I understand it, but there's also enough home games to spread it out. And, you know, maybe they looked at homecoming and thought, well, you have to introduce, you know, the king and queen in the court and you don't want to step on that with the seniors, you know. Fine. I think all of us can reasonably look at this and see that there are other dates that we all might have a preference for. But for me to then turn around and be upset or worried that, like, this doesn't make as much sense as others, like, there's another piece of this, Bo, that is now more complicated than it's ever been with 5 for 5. And I know, you know, from covering this team for, you know, 15 years now, that who is walking on senior day then becomes another referendum on decisions that they're making for the NFL draft, 100%. Or if you're going to allow certain guys to go through it. And it becomes another distraction on top of a distraction on top of an emotion. And, you know, that is maybe not the most pressing part of this, but if you're removing all of that from discussion, debate, and intrigue and the buildup, and Ohio State thinks that will help them, I understand. But, you know, they're not going to be ready to make those decisions in week one for sure. And a lot of them are not going to be able to finalize a return for someone like Brandon Ennis. Like, does he need to have all that additional scrutiny and spotlight on his decision to walk or not walk? I'd say probably not. But now we're getting into the weeds with 10 other things that may have played into it. But I think that is why they were looking at other options. Like, how can we streamline this process while also trying to give the seniors a moment that they deserved, you know, and there was never going to be a perfect solution for them, which is always why it did wind up still being senior day was your last game in the Horseshoe. But now we don't even know definitively when that is.
It's a great point on the 5 for 5. That's something I hadn't even really considered, the depths of that and where that all shakes out. All right, we do something here on the program called Thing or Not a Thing. So I'm going to give you a statement, and you're going to play the game. All right, buddy, if you're into that.
Absolutely.
Luke Fahey, backup quarterback, thing or not a thing?
Yeah, gosh, last Monday, Bo, I would have said not a thing. I saw Luke Fahey in those three practices. I saw him a little bit. I didn't pay all that much attention to him, if I'm being honest, during spring camp. It was almost out of sight, out of mind. We were so locked in on what does year two for Tavian St. Clair look like. How is he going to adjust to the speed of the game? Is he ready to be the backup if something occurs? To Julian saying, you know, knock on wood there, you know that you need a backup quarterback over the length of a season at some point, whether it's one snap or a game or more. And so that was where my attention was. And there was some intrigue with Justin Martin. But in spring, I did not really give any consideration to Luke Fahey. And maybe that's not fair to him, Some of it is just based on looking out on the field and the physical attributes. You know, for me, I can only speak for myself on that regard. Mm-hmm. And when you see Tavian St. Clair next to Luke Fahey, I don't know that there's any person in the world based purely on height, weight, skill, you know, arm strength that's going to take Luke Fahey over Tavian St. Clair. But the mental piece of this is hugely significant. And I did watch him pretty closely because he was rotating in on the same half of the field during those first three practices of training camp, as Julian's saying. And so while I'm watching the offensive line and seeing what's going on with the wide receivers, then the next group comes up and Luke Fahey's out there. Now, it wasn't with the quote unquote twos because Tavian St. Clair was on the other end of the field running with those guys. But, you know, everything he was doing was checking a lot of boxes, and he's got the processor that I think that really Ryan Day wants, needs, desires. Same with Arthur Smith and same with Billy Fessler. They did take this guy for a reason. He's not a walk-on. He was someone that they chose and signed specifically for what they think he can become, even with that size. You know, I think you remember having some conversations, and I know you've talked to people in the building about it, where the comparison that they make for Luke Fahey is Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. and not the version that we saw at the end of his NFL career, but the early days in Wisconsin Russell Wilson and early Seahawks Russell Wilson. That's what they think he can become. So, you know, I think there is part of this that is throwing down the gauntlet and motivation for Tavian St. Clair, because if this backup race, which you can't really take into the season, I don't believe.
No.
You know, you have to get this resolved before September 5th, and maybe you get reps in that game for both of them that offer the final maybe piece of the puzzle or evaluation, and final being a loose term, because there's still several months after that where anything can happen. But, you know, when you're trying to get them design practice reps and opportunities to evaluate, those chances start slipping away once you get into season prep. So I do think that this is a thing, because if it wasn't the way that Ryan Day answered his question to me on Saturday, his question from me on Saturday would mm-hmm. not have opened the door for Luke Fahey to take that job.
And he's got to have it known by the time they go to Austin. Like, you can't have 100%. Ambiguity there. So, it's good job out of you. And it's going to be a fascinating thing over the next couple of weeks to see how this all plays out, as it always is with all things Buckeyes. Appreciate your time, buddy, as always.
All right, bud. See you next week.
All right, there he goes. Austin Ward, The Beat with Austin Berman, the Roosters live show on YouTube, joining on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Buckeyes are ranked number one, so let's talk about them. Endless Buckeye conversation awaits you on your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan.
For the ones...
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and The Fan 3. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by KDHVAC, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan. With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing on a Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Former Browns head coach Hugh Jackson's here, baby. He was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark last week and reflected on his time in Cleveland.
These are big shoulders. I've been through the war. I know what this is like. I failed at Cleveland, according to what people said.
No, according to what you said.
Yeah. And I did say that because, you know what? Sometimes you got to play the game, right?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't fail at Cleveland. Are you kidding me? Go back and look at the team.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and look and ask me who had the decision and put them on the field.
Okay.
I have my own algorithm as a football coach. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know what players it takes. How was I coaching them in Cincinnati, but yet all of a sudden in Cleveland, I don't know what it takes to win?
Right. Mm,
yeah. No, it don't work that way. Yeah, I didn't all of a sudden fall off the turnip truck and forget football in a freaking year. I know what it takes to win. You think that I was going to put quarterbacks on my team that we had on our team in the beginning?
Preach.
Well, yeah, come on now. Let's wake up. Look, you know the media, Ryan, as well as anybody. They can, once you start that fire, it takes off and runs.
Yes.
And that's the narrative that everybody can create when they want.
Thing or not a thing.
Okay, there's several things. This first of all, I am pretty sure, Reese, and you'll have to check on this, but I'm pretty sure this is from like 4 years ago. I don't think this is recent. No, this made the rounds over the weekend. It was posted out. This is the video. He's in a Grambling hoodie, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's a Grambling hoodie.
He is in a Grambling hoodie in the video. So it's when he was coach at Grambling?
It's when he was coach at Grambling. So he's at Georgia State. He's been at Georgia State the last 3 years. So this, I'm pretty sure, was from like 2022, somewhere in there when he was at Grambling.
How does this make the rounds over the weekend in 2026, though?
Well, this is no one saw it the first time around is the long and short of it. Nobody saw it. And so somebody tweeted it over the weekend, and then it got treated as if it was something that was said last week. And it, in a way, Reese, it's kind of a commentary on the sad state of affairs we have with information now in the world where we don't know what's real and what's not. And there wasn't anybody to stop it and say, actually, this, he said this doesn't take away from the absurdity of it. It doesn't at all. This is a guy who brought in the number one pick in the draft into a meeting on Hard Knocks to congratulate him on being the backup quarterback. Okay, that's the same guy. This is the same guy that had a losing record with all of the talent that Greg Williams went 5-3 with. Same guy. So he's a mess. It doesn't take away from that. But I'm pretty sure I'd bet Bootsy certainly on the fact that it was this was from like 4 years ago, I think.
And it also, like you said, Bo, the information getting pushed out, people should be pushing back on that and saying this is old. People should also push back on your friends when you're saying asinine things. If you're in a room with somebody that's making a fool out of himself, you know, maybe turn the corner. Maybe be the producer for a second and just say, hey, maybe we need to shift this conversation away from where you're going here, because I don't think this is going to play well for you online. When I think about the 2018 team, I think Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Joel Batonio, Joe Schobert. You want to talk about a talented team? Now, that was early days, Cleveland, but like you said, Greg Williams went 5-3 with him. Hugh, I don't like hearing stories about him in Cleveland anymore.
So I know this was from the weekend, because on Sunday, it was announced by Adam Schefter, Von Miller, and the Dallas Cowboys. Former 7-time All-Pro linebacker had signed a 1-year deal with the star. 37-year-old Miller appeared in all 17 games for the Commanders in 2025. He had 9 sacks and 6 tackles for loss. Thing or not a thing?
A really cool thing for him and a really cool thing for them. I mean, my guess is most kids who grow up in the state of Texas dream of playing for the Dallas Cowboys. That would be my guess. So he gets a chance to do that at the later stages of his career, and he can actually help them quite a bit. I mean, those numbers that he had in 2025, 9 sacks in 17 games, there's big value to that if you're Dallas. So I love it from their perspective, and I love it for his perspective as well.
This one shocked me when I saw this in the show sheet, because my mind immediately went, Von Miller is still playing. It's unbelievable to me that he is still in the league. I thought I forgot about him when he went to the Bills, Commanders last year, and he put up 9 sacks. It's a productive season. I went through through X, and I saw a lot of Broncos fans not happy with this one. I think they wanted one last go-round with Von Miller, which I understand. That one hurts for them, but also, he's a Texas native. I understand the appeal to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys right now silently making moves to be a little bit dangerous in the NFC.
And I think Tyvus tells a great story. I'm pretty sure it was Vaughn who like really took care of him at Thanksgiving once. Like really took care of a Thanksgiving feast for like all the guys who didn't have a place to go, that type of thing. I'm pretty sure I have that right.
I had to do a quick Google in the break the last time that Bishop Watterson lost a football game.
Okay.
Back in December 1st of 2023.
Whoa, really?
The Eagles lost 27-7 against Toledo Central Catholic in the Division III state championship. They've ripped off 30 straight. And the Columbus Dispatch, in their USA Today Network Ohio panel, has them number one in the region to begin the high school football season. They were 14-0 last year. 222 points are what the Eagles get in this top 25. 7 first-place votes. They'll open the season August 21st at Anthony Wayne. So what we got also in that top 25, Big Walnut is 2, even with losing Jameer Brown. Pickerington Central at 3, Pick North at 4, Olentangy Orange at 5, the defending D1 state champs, and Olentangy Liberty at 6. UA at number 7, DeSales 8 with RJ Day, Gahanna Lincoln, and Olentangy round out the top 10. Thing or not a thing?
All of that's a thing. You could argue that Ohio Division 2 Region 7 is the most absurd region in the history of Division II football. So you mentioned Watterson hasn't lost since 2023. Big Walnut is in that region. You know who else is in that region? Which makes no damn sense at all. Massillon. And Massillon might be the best team in the whole state, regardless of division. They're probably the most talented if they can corral all of it. But they're probably the most talented, and Massillon's in that. That's the region, guys. That means a regional semifinal game. A regional semifinal game will likely feature Big Walnut against Bishop Watterson, Bishop Watterson against Massillon, or Big Walnut against Massillon in a regional semifinal.
That's unbelievable.
That is ridiculous. By the way, that division also has Avon, who's won the last two state championships in Division II. It also has Hoban and Walsh Jesuit, which are both loaded. Let alone, I'm pretty sure, is it? Yes, yeah, Cincy Anderson is D2 as well. And I think Toledo Central Catholic's in there. I think they're somehow in that as well. It's just ridiculous. There's no... It's just utterly ridiculous amount of talent.
And you know everybody else in the in Region 7 that isn't one of the halves? When Bishop Watterson moved up from D3 to D2, they were like, are you kidding?
Right.
One more team to come in here and compete with us.
Yeah, Toledo Central Catholic's in Division 2 as well. Good Lord, is that loaded.
So we're going to have Olentangy Orange at Olentangy Berlin Friday night at 7 o'clock. And then looks like Week 2 is going to be Bishop Watterson and Pick Central playing at Ohio Dominican.
That's be a good one.
Thing or not a thing.
That's a huge thing, man. It's fun. We'll talk about this on Friday when we get right there on the precipice of it. But I really believe it's like one of the last things that as an America we still all do is go to football games on a Friday night. Like in our community, it's like the last thing that like everybody does together, and I'm guessing that is something that you repeat around the country and around the state, that it's Friday Night Lights still work. The idea of playing Friday Night Lights inevitably will be get to those Sundays. We begin two-a-days in the NFC West with the Los Angeles Rams coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State football is 19 days out from opening the 2026 season against Ball State. Buckeyes and Cardinals will meet Saturday, September 5th at Ohio Stadium. It'll be a 12:30 kick with Senior Day festivities before that game. OSU Athletics announced the change this past Friday. Ryan Day confirmed the moving of Senior Day, traditionally the final home game of the year, to keep the routine for his players the same week to week, as this year would have been the game against Michigan Saturday, November 28th. Ohio State resumes fall camp this morning and looks to scrimmage at the Shoe this coming Saturday. In golf news, the Memorial Tournament's being added to the PGA Tour's Championship Series in 2028. It's part of a restructure of the PGA's competitive model. Top golfers will participate in Championship Series events. Those looking to get into the Championship Series will be in the Challenger Series. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Open a savings account for the youth in your life with just $5. They'll put $100 into a youth certificate.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, similarly to what we did with 20 Most Interesting, the idea here is to get you a little bit of something on every team in the National Football League. So we concocted two-a-days. So we'll get two teams every day, one guest from one of the teams every day now up until the start of the season. Reese, typically we do these in the 11 o'clock, but sometimes they'll be in the 10 o'clock hour as well. But whatever hour it is, 10 or 11, it will all be set up for an NFL slant over the course of the next several weeks. And we begin in the NFC West. Hit it.
Bishop and Friends present two-a-days, our professional preseason preview of all 32 teams. Will your favorite team win it all this season? Doubt it.
Plus, we get that music, which is just an electric factory. So we begin in the NFC West. Without hesitation, this is the best division in the National Football League. There are for sure two Super Bowl contenders, maybe three if San Francisco can get relatively healthy, but certainly two. And I think they have the team that we're going to talk about first, which is the team with the most all-in I can remember a team in my memory. There's certainly others. There was an Eagles team that went all in years ago. I think we've seen it with some other instances, but this is as all in as can be, and that is the LA Rams. Now, they do have a little bit of distraction. Puka Nacua facing potential suspension. He had himself a pretty rough offseason, so there's going to be a little bit of deliberation on that. They were 12-5 a season ago. They lost to Seattle in the NFC Championship game. Also lost a late game in December to Seattle that cost them home field in that NFC Championship game. Did they add anybody? Yeah, they sure did. They added Myles Garrett. They added Trent McDuffie as well, the best defensive player in football. And Myles joins a defensive line that was already really, really good. And then he just accentuates that even more. By the way, they could get another guy to add to that, if indeed Aaron Donald, who's maybe the best defensive tackle ever, if he decides to come back. But that isn't all they did. They added Trent McDuffie as well, Jalen Watson. The one thing that was a little puzzling was the drafting of Ty Simpson. Because, my goodness, if you draft Mekhi Lemon there and you put him on that receiving core, then you're even more ready to go. But if they love Simpson, this might be your only chance to draft a quarterback this high. So this falls kind of in the what Atlanta tried to do with Michael Penix. Now, that didn't work. We'll see if this worked for the Rams. Their key losses, of course, Jared Verse, who is a stud. He is out. Tutu Atwell as well. But this is the most talented team in the National Football League. One of the cool things that's happened, whether it was Threes or Bob or anybody else I've ever talked to who played in the National Football League, there was a universal affection, respect, beloved feelings towards Matthew Stafford. This is when he was in Detroit. He went to Los Angeles to be totally seen. And now you have a guy who's won a Super Bowl. You have a guy who's won an MVP. He is now a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I don't know if that would have been the case had he stayed in Detroit. He very well could have been kind of the Phillip Rivers of Detroit. Just puts up a bunch of stats and isn't somebody who anyone takes seriously in terms of the Hall of Fame. Well, that all changed. And the interesting thing about the Stafford trade, looking back on it, kind of worked for both. It kickstarted Detroit's renaissance because of all of those assets, and they landed those picks, and it allowed for Detroit to have a really competitive Super Bowl contender over the last couple of years, and it kickstarted the Rams to a Super Bowl win and potentially a favorite to do it again.
I mean, the host of Super Bowl is what's on the slate for Los Angeles this season. Super Bowl 61's at SoFi. And, you know, I don't know how many actual fans there are in Los Angeles of the LA Rams, but people love winning. And this team did a lot of it last season because they've won so much.
Yes.
Because it's the easiest thing in the world to do, to love a team that wins, like the LA Rams have done, even with Jared Goff, went to Super Bowl. And with this Matt Stafford operation, they've only pushed that. And this is the talk of the town outside. I mean, the LA Dodgers, certainly. But boy, if they're able to this season get over that Seattle hump... Just the idea they're going to parachute in with already acquiring Myles Garrett. They're going to parachute in one of the best defensive players of the last decade.
Yep.
Certainly one of the best defensive players in the history of this Rams franchise is just an unfair thing. So good for Los Angeles, because everything seems to, you know, be finally going their way.
Finally going their way.
It's great. It's awesome. I'm not bitter or whatever.
And it feels like, too, with the team, usually when teams go all in, it feels like there's just all this pressure that's on them to win. But the Rams have won so much as of late. Like, it's not like the unsurmounting pressure of going all in, because they just were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Like, yeah, you get Myles Garrett. There is pressure on them to be good. But there's no way this team falls on their face anyway. And I see them in the mix for the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, all of this worked when you look back on how the Rams got to Los Angeles, how the league wanted to make sure that the Raiders didn't go to Los Angeles, that they didn't give them that. They needed somebody with deep pockets who could build the stadium in California on his own. Stan Kroenke has deep pockets. He built the stadium. The Chargers pay him rent, for God's sakes. The last time, by the way, Los Angeles hosted a Super Bowl, guess who won it? These guys. Guess who they beat? The Bengals. I'm going to tell you right now, we'll do our official picks leading into that to week one. Barring some catastrophic injury, that's my Super Bowl pick again. It's Rams and Bengals. I think these are the two best teams again, and I think that they run it back in the AFC and the NFC. We'll see where it all shakes out. But no, they are set up as big as possible to go win it, and now it's just a matter of doing it. Let's hit some categories on the Rams. Coaching grade for Sean McVay, Reese.
It's an A+. He's done. He's won everything, and they've been able to make it work with, even at times, it feels rocky between him and the front office. All right, I guess maybe that's just the media reading into it too much, because their wide receiver's pretty freaky. And Puka.
Yeah, he's, he is. Yeah.
And LaFleur and McVay's been able to weather a lot and win.
A-plus, great coach, and super likable. I mean, he's built for TV. He's one of those young guys that, even though he's winning so much, there's still... Is he still having fun doing this? Should we just move him to TV now? Mm-hmm. Has he already accomplished everything off every offseason, even though he's performing at the highest level in the NFL?
I think most people assume... I agree, it's an A-plus. I think most people assume that he would go when Stafford goes. But maybe he loves Ty Simpson. And maybe he see it's pretty fun to win, man. It's pretty fun to win. And they are always going to be a place that people are going to want to play. As long as they win, they're going to continue to be. Southern California is pretty undefeated when it comes to being somewhat ultra successful and being a professional athlete. Uniform grade for the Rams, Reese.
I've come around on this. So this is a B-plus for me. I think they've done a great job of utilizing their old school colors. They don't have like the gold that they had in St. Louis. I was never the biggest fan of that.
Yeah.
For what the Rams did, but they kind of went back to their roots on this. The black rivalry ones are a little odd, and then when they wear the gold tops, I hate that.
Yeah.
But their traditional home and away, the whites, the they look clean.
They do.
I like them, too. I've come around on them as well. I also had this down as a B+. And for me, it's the helmet. The helmet brings it all together. You get the two stripes for the Rams going down the sides. I did like the old ones back when they were in St. Louis. Kind of that, like, bronzy gold with, like, the navy blue. I thought those looked good, too. But these ones kind of like a brighter, revamped ones that match everything about L.A. You pretty much took the old uniforms and just threw neon on them and then put them in like the craziest arena in the world. And you were like, yep, that all kind of fits.
Yeah, I think it's an A. It's not for me. It's an A. I love the use of the colors. I love that they're bringing back the Deacon Jones blue and white throwback. I think that's really cool this year as well. I think they had one that was like a bone color that they got rid of. That was a step in the right direction. That's a good job out of them. I think they've largely crushed it. I'm going to give them an A. Not quite A+. We'll give them an A. If you could add one franchise great to this Rams team, who would you add, Reese?
Well, you know, Bo, if they could add Aaron Donald to that defensive front, that'd sure be fun for them.
That was like when I was little and I would pitch like little guy baseball and I would just kind of like will the ball to hit the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I was just willing you to hit that.
Isaac Bruce would be a fun one.
He would be.
If you added him from The Greatest Show on Turf to this, like that would be the best thing for Matt Stafford to be able to throw, to add that to the compliment he's already got.
I think you had the right one with Aaron Donald.
It is. It's Aaron Donald, but I'll go sideways just to mention Deacon Jones. I think if you paired him up with Myles Garrett, that would be pretty fun.
They get a lot of good ones to choose from. I've always been a Stafford guy, and can you imagine him working with Marshall Faulk out of the backfield? Like, all of a sudden, those weapons on the outside, Faulk was a 1,000-1,000 guy. Yeah, there's a lot you could choose from. I think they're going to get the right answer, which is Aaron Donald, which is I'm sure he's going to come back at a second workout over the weekend. Franchise tier, S being the best through F being the worst. Franchise tier for the Rammets.
Yeah, for an NFL organization, this is exactly what you want to be. This has everything. So this is an S tier. If that's the top tier you can get to, there could be no higher than what the Rams are right now.
I also have them as an S tier, and they've been willing to just roll the dice. Some of the stuff they did with the draft, where they've just been like, essentially F them
bleed
picks.
Bleed them picks is
yep, don't care
bold.
About them. And they've hit every time. So if you're going to roll the dice and just keep on getting it right, that kind of smacks everybody else in the face.
And also, it is an S tier, rather. And also, it speaks to like what the franchise did towards the end of like Three's run there, when they were just kind of sabotaging themselves. I mean, they had one bet to get this right in Los Angeles with this team, and they did. The Stafford trade, but even Goff allowing them to get Stafford, all of it, it all worked. And they are certainly an S-tier NFL franchise. Win it all, playoffs building or busting for the Rammets, Reese?
I think anything but a Super Bowl would be a disappointment.
Yeah. Same, win it all.
Yeah, they're the best team. They're the best team on paper. We'll see if it all translates. My hunch is it will, barring some sort of an injury to Matthew Stafford, be about the only thing that would prevent it. All right, we can stay in the NFC West. We head to Arizona and the Cardinals. What exactly is the plan in Arizona? I think I have an idea. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on the
retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
For the afternoon, some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms do remain possible. Otherwise, more clouds than sunshine, humid, highs in the lower 80s. Overnight, mostly clear skies develop. We'll watch for some areas of fog. For your Tuesday, morning fog, then mostly sunny and somewhat less humid, highs around 81. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, we said in the NFC West, you've got two Super Bowl contenders, a third that might be, and then these guys. And these guys are the Arizona Cardinals as we continue with two-a-days. They were 3-14 last season, fourth in the NFC West. They drafted number three overall, and in doing so, they drafted Jeremiah Love, stud running back out of Notre Dame. In addition to that, some other additions. Tyler Allgeier comes over, the running back. He comes over most recently with Atlanta. Gardner Minshew is in there as well. The loss, and the biggest one, is Kyler Murray, because this absolutely is the moment where they moved off of Kyler officially. And so he is a starting quarterback for the Vikings. The Cardinals are this roster that to me looks absolutely poised to tank, but they've also done some very odd things that tanking teams to me shouldn't do, i.e. randomly played Jacoby Brissett more money to lose more football games. I don't understand that. We'll ask our guest in about 12 minutes why they did that. I don't understand why Marvin Harrison Jr. hasn't been more prolific there, and it's not because they haven't been able to throw the ball. Michael Wilson has actually outpaced him, and obviously they have Trey McBride, who's one of the best tight ends in all of football. They've got a lot of former Buckeyes in the starting lineup of this thing. Marv Paris is in there too, at left tackle. On the defensive side, Denzel Burke is there. Cody Simon is there. There's a lot of our guys in this roster. Baron Browning's in the two deep. There's a lot of our dudes in there. So this is an operation where you say to yourself, if this goes bad and they're in a position to draft a quarterback, they may be set up, because they have everything else. They have all the weapons you could ever want. Offensive line is fine. And then you just drop a quarterback in there and away you go. Now, the other thing that they've got to get sorted out this year is if there is a chance that Carson Beck is that quarterback. They're going to have a front row seat to that. He was a third round pick this year, most recently out of Miami, before that, of course, at Georgia. Is he somebody who, quite honestly, 3 years ago in the draft process, people thought would be going number one overall? It didn't work that way. He looked pretty good in his preseason debut, so we'll see. But those are the things that I think they have to work for. This is not a contender in any way. This is a team that's headed for the top of the draft. The question is, do they do so spectacularly that they get their pick of the quarterbacks that are there? And then the next part of that will be, and this will be a conversation for next year at the Combine, if it is them number one overall and Arch Manning has the year that people think he's going to have, would the Mannings allow Arch to play there? Because they didn't allow Eli to play in San Diego. So it's not going to be about weather.
Is Mike LaFleur regarded as a quarterback whisperer?
He's got a good last name.
Right?
I mean, I don't know.
This is the thing Los Angeles wishes they had the other LaFleur?
Peter.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea what to make of the Cardinals' direction. Because I look at their schedule for the season, and yeah, the quarterback's going to be bad, whomever it's going to be. Because even if Carson Beck can elevate to something that says we don't have to take a quarterback in the first round, there's still going to be a lot of highs and lows. And it's still, I think, going to cause some frustration unless they want to run the ball with Jeremiah Love. But I think them being a little too coy in the preseason about his ankle injury, like a high ankle sprain for that is a nightmare.
Yeah.
If you're the Cardinals and you're relying on Love to be anything at all in this. And they don't open the season with an easy road to hoe. It's the Chargers, Seahawks, and 49ers for their first three games. Now, I don't know what the Giants are going to be, but they've also got the NFC East on this thing. They got the AFC West as well. So, boy, I see maybe two wins.
And it's interesting because they now have Jeremiah Love, who's fantastic running back prospect coming out of college football, and then Marv, who, when he came out, was undeniable great wide receiver prospect. So it's not like they're like swinging and kind of like risking in these top 10 picks. Like, they're taking the guys they should be taking.
Yeah.
But I think just the Marv not hitting like we all believe he should, that's been a huge, huge, obviously, thing that's held them
back.
They
need Love to hit.
Yeah.
Well, if they do those things, like if Marv rediscovers it, if Love hits, and they do what you just said, which is win two games, and they will be able to pick the quarterback that they want to be the franchise quarterback.
If you have I think the Marvin Harrison resurgence is going to be key, and can we convince Arch Manning to play for us?
That's real.
If you get a wide receiver one, you have Jeremiah Love, and you're able to, if you're Arizona, pick in the top two, top three, and you have your shot, yeah, I think that would be appealing.
This is one of those operations where if you could sell them to another entity, would be a rocket Heartbeat. Ship.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to live in Scottsdale. Everybody wants to live in Phoenix. And in that area, it's a place people love. The branding's a little weird in that they're Cardinals and there are no Cardinals in Arizona. So that's a little bit of an odd thing. They probably should have reset it at some point. They were the St. Louis Cardinals. They probably should have just reset it to something else that made a little bit more sense to Arizona. But beyond that, you get to live in a great part of the country. And the only thing that really holds them back a little bit is just ownership. Like they just do not, their ownership reputation is pretty poor. Just the way they go about their business. So I think that holds them back a little bit. But if they land, if they copy this and go 3-14 again next year and they pick 1, 2, or 3 in next year's NFL draft, and if they pick number one overall and they get their pick between Moore and Manning and whatever else it's going to be, Julian, whoever, now you're set. Because there's a ton of weaponry here. There's a lot to work with. This cupboard is not bare in any way, shape, or form. It's all young. It's all going to grow together. They're set up, and they're kind of ready to go. It's just a matter of can they navigate this season correctly. I still don't understand why they paid Jacoby Brissett more money to lose football games, because to me that seems about as silly as can be. So it's going to be a long season this year, but the future could be very bright if they navigate this properly. Time to hit the categories on the Arizona Cardinals. We kick it off with your coaching grade. Reese? Mike LaFleur.
Again, I ask, is he the LaFleur that they would want? If they could pick the LaFleurs, is he the guy that they would land on? I'm going to give it a C because I have no idea.
I feel the exact same way. I had C down. To be determined, he's probably taking on one of the hardest jobs possible right now. So do I see a lot of success in his soon-to-be future? Probably not.
Yeah, I'll go C+, because I think a lot of people wanted him, and I think he saw the potential with this situation was appealing. So I'll go C+ on that, but it's a big wait and see. The reality is, on all of these guys who get these jobs because of their play calling acumen, you really don't know if they can lead men until it's time to lead men. Like, remember Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference? We're like, well, this is going to fall flat. Well, he won a Super Bowl. Ben Johnson had a really weird first press conference. You're like, are people going to follow him? Yeah, they did.
Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen's another one. And they won. Like Duval. Like some of these guys are quirky dudes, but if you put players in the position to succeed, then they'll follow you. And so we'll see if Mike can follow in his brother's footsteps and do that. Uniform grade for the Arizona Cardinals, Reese.
So I gave it a C-. I don't hate their home in a way. Like the all red is a choice. Not one I would make. I don't know what the hell they were trying to do with the alternates last year, like the desert specked alternate uniforms. Yep. This is a team without an identity and the uniform, so I think C- might be too generous.
I had them down as a D-. I was bordering on F because I was thinking what teams could possibly be an F. I think the all reds with just the Arizona looks so bland. Like, it looks like modern take on old uniforms. I do not like it. I would say D-, and that feels generous for me.
Yeah, they probably should have just reset this thing, honestly. Like, they should have just got rid of the Cardinals. The best one they have is they're all white. They did have a little bit of a silver on it, yeah. So that pops a little bit. Is probably they're all white. They're all the unitard look, which is where the pants match the socks. I don't like that at all. The Desert Swarm one, I think their fan base liked, because it was kind of the one that actually spelt Arizona-ish to them, which is, I suppose, one. But yeah, I think this is a D. I think it's a really bad brand and all of it. It's just tough. One franchise great you could add to this team. Who do you pick, Reese?
You drop Kurt Warner in there. He'd have some success with Marvin Harrison Jr.
It's a good one.
Feels like a good choice. I was also going quarterback. I was between two. I'll give one to our guy Carson Palmer, who had a fantastic year. Kurt Warner's the answer, but Carson Palmer was having an MVP year before he got hurt with the Cardinals. So I'd love to see him strap it back up again. Most people around here remember him on the Bengals, but he was a dog on the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think you guys have the correct answer on both of them. It's quarterback. You could add those two. You could do Jake the Snake if you wanted. He was fun to watch when he was in his prime as well. But it's probably Warner or Palmer, either one. If you put them on this team, then all of a sudden you have four teams in this division that feel like they could all go. Franchise tier for the Arizona Cardinals. Eesh.
So it's S, A, B, C, D, E, and F?
Yeah.
Yes, a D. They've been to a Super Bowl. They have an indoor stadium in the desert, so those are good.
Yeah.
The dome's cool. I've got them down for an F, but the dome is cool. But I think they're the losingest franchise in the NFL, and I think they pair that with also being the longest tenured franchise in the NFL as well. It's going to be an F for me.
It's going to be a D for me just because the location's an A++, so that lifts it up a little bit. So I'm going to lift it a little bit with location. But no, this has been a struggle bus. Now, they have been to a Super Bowl, to your point. So that's the thing. If you just get the right mix here, people want to play there because it's such a great place to live. Win it all, playoff, building, busting. What do you got, Reese?
I guess they got a new head coach, so they're building, but this mm-hmm. feels more like a bust of a year. Unless your goal going into the year is be bad,
yeah,
then that's winning it. Then you hang a banner.
They're gonna kill that for sure. I think they're building. They have some pieces. I mean, Trey McBride has been a total stud for them. Mm-hmm. Still question marks out for Marv. I think the Jeremiah Love pick was good. Can they find the quarterback? That's the question. But I mean, yeah, they're gonna be good at being bad this year.
I think they're building, yeah. I think if they do this right, they could be in a really sweet spot by next year at this time when we talk about them on Two-A-Days. So, does what ownership wants, what front office wants, does it match what the fans want? And what exactly do the fans want? We'll ask Alex Clancy about that coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, we're working on Alex Clancy out in the Valley of the Sun. In the meantime, to kind of hammer home this point of where the Arizona Cardinals are, Bleacher Report released a mock draft 4 hours ago. With the first pick in the 2027 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Darian Mensah, quarterback, Miami.
Well, they need a quarterback, so that's you knew that.
Jeremiah goes number two to Miami in this Bleacher Report mock. Then Arch goes three to the Jets. I'll tell you, want something that would test the Manning family, it would be the Jets as an organization. That would test it. The Browns go four, go Dante Moore from Oregon, number four overall. Number five, the Titans, Leonard Moore, Notre Dame, goes fifth overall. Cam Coleman, who we will see in week two, the wide receiver, goes to Vegas at six. At number seven, Carolina edge, Colin Simmons, who we'll see in week two for the Longhorns. He goes at number seven. Another Longhorn tackle, Trevor Goosby out of Texas, goes to the Falcons at eight. At number nine, we'll just do the top 10. Dylan Stewart, defensive end out of South Carolina. And then finally at number 10, Nick Marsh, wide receiver out of Indiana. So we play like, what, six of the top 10 picks in next year's NFL draft? One from Indiana, three from Texas. One from Oregon?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Oh my, that's quite a bit of talent that we're going to get a first-hand look at this year for the Buckeyes, obviously. So we'll see what Arizona's plan is with all of this. We head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with Alex Clancy, Locked On Cardinals. Before we get into this year, is there a point when you knew it was cooked with Kyler, and how did that go so bad from the outside perspective? How did it go so bad so quick?
You know, it's difficult to kind of quantify it because the Cardinals played really well in 2024 through their bye. Yeah, I think they were on a four-game winning streak. Kyler looked good. It was kind of homage back to 2021, and then it was a reminder that it's not if, it's when everything crumbles. And it's difficult to look in the mirror and be like, hey, this is okay, but is there a better relationship out there? And then when he got hurt and was on IR after week five of last year, I was like, all right, well, this is done. It made the situation easy to move off from.
All right. So another thing that I want to ask you on before we get into this season is when Marvin Harrison was here, you could have made an argument his last year here. He was the best player in all of college football, regardless of position. We just assumed that it would be that way for Arizona right away. But obviously you have some quarterback issues and so forth and so on. What has a front row seat for Marvin Harrison been like so far? And why has he not clicked the way that we all assumed that he would?
You know, I've given a little bit more grace and leniency to him after being drafted. You know, he was drafted as the third option. Trey McBride, James Conner, very run-heavy offense, and, you know, an offense that wasn't very good at highlighting receivers, and Kyler Murray, who, you know, had his struggles with, you know, down-the-field throws after his first couple years. There's a lot of checkdowns, and I was just kind of chilling. He scored a lot of touchdowns as a rookie. Mm-hmm. Scored a handful of touchdowns last year. Like, touchdowns for me are a big indicator. It's like around pay dirt, he is elite still. And I think it's just a matter of time, because when it comes to now, Nathaniel Hackett was responsible for Devontae Adams in 2021. My best stat that I used back that year when the Cardinals had DeAndre Hopkins was Devontae Adams had more red zone receptions than DeAndre Hopkins had targets. Hmm. So they know how to scheme open the wide receiver ones. Nathaniel Hackett's been around star wide receivers. Mike Flores has been around him. If anybody can get wide receiver one out of Marvin Harrison Jr., it's this coaching staff.
Yeah, and if you do, because all of the rest of the weapons kind of look in a pretty good place, and I want to get to that one more before we get into this team this year. And I knew him when he was in Cleveland, and he is an A-plus human being. Why did they decide to pay Jacoby?
It's a matter of, you know, what kind of food that you're not really a fan of are you having for dinner? You know, it's just like, you know, it's going to be fine. It's going to give you sustenance. But what Jacoby Brissett did last year with the 1-11, 80% of it wasn't his fault. Mm-hmm. He's a good, consummate pro quarterback who's stable. They're going to have a good offensive line, even though they lost Chase Bisantis. And he was by far the best option out of the three. So they made their bed. They made their bet, and this is what it's going to be for this year. And, you know, it's still pseudo pennies on the dollar compared to what a starting mm-hmm. quarterback gets outside like Geno Smith and the rookies. But, yeah, he's the best quarterback in the room, so you got to pay him like it.
Okay, which then leads to this question, and I think this is the most fascinating one. And my guess is you have a pretty good handle on what the fan base there wants. What does ownership, front office, coaching want out of this year, and what does the fan base want out of this year?
The fan base one is actually pretty easy. They want something to be excited about. You know, like this okay. is on the heels of 3-14 when there were playoff aspirations. Me, like a dummy, said Jonathan Gannon has a better chance of winning coach of the year than getting fired, and I was wrong. I was wrong. But, I mean, if you look at the injuries from last year, and I never use injuries as an excuse, it was the main character in the movie. Everybody was out for the defense the entire time. James Conner, Trey Benson, they had no run game. So the fans need something to be excited about. And I think that was part of the impetus for drafting Jeremiah Love and drafting Carson Beck, even though we don't know when we're going to see him this year. But, you know, clear. So there are expectations, but they're not playoff aspirational. So it's this offense has to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, really going into this year, you need to see the proof of concept of Mike LaFleur not being Cliff Kingsbury part two. And I already, you know, you see the numbers. I know it's preseason. It doesn't really matter. But it's like the efficiency level from the quarterback room has been insane. Mm-hmm. So you can see a clear uptick. So for me, that's the real litmus test of a successful 2026 is this offense can put up points. And if they've got a shootout in the 30s because this offense is so good and the defense is so bad, you'll take that over, you know, a slog of losing 17-13.
Because, Alex, I look at this roster, and I'm sure you get this a lot, and I'm sure you yourself as an astute football observer and someone who covers it goes, wouldn't be the worst thing to go like 2-15 and get number one overall, right? I mean, because you kind of have everything else, right?
I mean, the Dolphins team is so bad.
The Jets are so bad. They are.
You know, and the only reason why they're projected to win more games is because they play each other twice a year.
Right.
So they have a chance to beat each other. You know, they're like the Dolphins. I could be the wide receiver one on the Dolphins right now. Like, mm-hmm. I think the Cardinals, the national media and media in general's indifference to the Cardinals is completely warranted. Okay, and you look at the skill position group, they're going to be a top team to play with in Madden. You know,
yes, like, they are. They'll
like,
be fun.
Like, the Madden people are going to love this offense. And if, like, when you look at all of the blue chip talent that they drafted who were supposed to be stars but have been riddled with injury and otherwise, like, it just needs to click. Like, I think the Cardinals are much closer to 6 wins this year than 2, and that's not me being too close because I have no reason to be. But I think, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that they're going to win more games than people think this year. And to the quarterback thing, wasn't this supposed to be the stacked quarterback class? Mm-hmm. Like, who knows what's going to happen next year?
Well, furthermore, you got a guy who currently, I think, is third on your depth chart, who 2 years ago at this time, maybe three, a lot of people thought would go number one overall. So who knows when it comes to quarterback, to your point. All right, give me a name other than the obvious from a fantasy perspective that folks ought to be maybe paying attention to.
Oh, man. I mean, see, the obvious is so funny with Marvin and Wilson last year and Trey. Like,
yeah.
Like, they were exposed last year because it was like Blake Bortles with Jacksonville in 2015 or whatever when they were just hucking it down 30 at halftime. I think Tyler Algier is going to have a good year. Like, people are going to be, right when they drafted Jeremiah Love, I'm like, people are going to be pissed at his at his you know, carry usage. It's going to be a hard 60-40. Or if not 65, you know, whatever, 55-45, he's going to be using the pass game a lot. I think Tyler Algier is going to score a lot of touchdowns this year. I think he's going to be the Mike Tolbert of the LaDainian Tomlinson or the Melvin Gordon, whatever year that was. Like, I think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns. He's so good. He's so good at running the ball. And he runs completely differently than Jeremiah Love. So, you know, if you have a Jeremiah Love look and they're both on the field at the same time, I mean, he could take out a backer, you know. So I think Tyler Algier is going to be one to watch for sure. Especially if Jeremiah Love misses time with the high ankle sprain.
Yeah, that part too. I'll get you out of here on this one. Give me your pecking order, having viewed this division for a long time and obviously some Super Bowl contenders, including the defending champs in it. How do you kind of see this division shaking out?
I think the Rams, and then it's everybody else. You know, if you want to give me a list, I think it'll be Rams. See, the 49ers are tricky because even if they play with like 8 guys on both sides, they still win 12 games and everybody's hurt, but they still win all their games. I'm going to take the 49ers to win, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 games regardless, and then Seattle's 3 and Cardinals 4.
It's going to be fascinating, and I'm telling you, this will be an interesting team to watch to see if they ever pivot. We use a phrase around here with certainly have used it with the Browns before, like, is there an off-ramp to a tank? Like, if it starts going bad, you kind of lean into it, and all of a sudden you're picking at the top of a draft. But fun season for you to cover, buddy. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
You got it. Thanks.
There he goes. Alex Clancy, Locked On Cardinals, joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Get you 3 things on a Monday. Up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The Buckeyes are number one.
And you can hear all the games here on The Fan,
which is also number one.
Coincidence? I think not. Your home of champions, The Fan.
Ohio State football. Training camp report.
This report brought to you statewide by Safelite Auto Glass and Bob's Discount Furniture. Ohio State's offensive line, tons of experience. And center Carson Hinsman hoping the experience on the other side of the line can make them that much more tougher.
See, that's an interesting question because I feel like the guys we got now are, like, obviously they're not K-Mac. They're not 330 pounds of just, like, mean green fighting machine. But, like, they come in kind of a different, you know, variety now. I mean, we got John Walker from, UCF, who he's kind of a bigger body, but he's good with his hands. He's really good on a re-rush. That dude fights the whole play. Wills is more of a, like, speed off the ball. Like, I'll be mid-snap, and he's already trying to put his hands on me. And then, obviously, James is super twitched up. And so, like, those guys plus Edric and all the other guys that we have in the huddle, I mean, like, there's tons of guys. You kind of have to have a different mentality each play. But, like, some of those guys we got in the portal, man, I mean, they really – you got to be like, all right, this is like a game rep. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is like guys we're actually going to be playing against. And so every time we go up the line right now, I mean, it's a fun kind of dissertation of, like, all right, what am I playing here? How am I going to play these guys? And how do we got to go dominate? Because, like I said, today was good, but we got to be better. And we will be better coming up this next few practices.
We'll have more after this.
Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, 5-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and, of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com. Come see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob.
Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Ohio State Senator Carson Hinsman is among those who embrace the tough schedule the Buckeyes face in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be the best, you got to be able to beat the best. And so I think for us to be able to have that mindset going out there, not look at it as like a, oh, man, woe is me. We got a hard schedule. Like, it's going to be long. It's like, no, man, like, if we want to be the best team ever played at Ohio State, we got to go beat the best teams in the country. And so I think for us to have kind of a little bit of a swagger, a little bit of mentality, not fake confidence where it's like, oh, we're going to get amped up because of the music and the noise. It's like, no, we're really confident because of all the work we put in. I think it's going to be important for us and important when we get to the postseason that we're going to have those games underneath our belt. So I think it's awesome that we have some of those big games right now.
Season opener September 5th with Ball State. We'll have another report tomorrow. This is Paul Keels on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
The new All Pro to sail Buckeye Nation. Join us February 19th to February 26th, 2027, as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer out of Barbados on the Silver Sea, Silver Ray. Meet more than 35 Buckeye greats plus some of your favorite current Buckeyes, all while making memories and helping beat cancer. You don't want to miss this ultimate Buckeye fan experience. We can't wait to see you on board. Let's celebrate 20 years of making a difference. Visit BuckeyeCruise.com for more information.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's the weather outside? Who cares? Bakers and shorts. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, considering you took time off to go golf with Thidoff, I'm going to hope that Bake is underwater. Not to the flood point, but certainly very uncomfortable. That's what I need him at. What do you got on the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan Pool sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, how do you feel about Ryan Day moving Ohio State Senior Day to week one against Ball State? 55% of respondents say they don't care. Your other options are like and dislike, and those were 21, 22, respectively.
I came around on it a little. I still think the opener's not right, but I came around on it a little bit in the sense of, I guess I had forgotten the 5 for 5 thing. Like, yeah. What is a senior now? What is it? Is that after their fourth year, after their fifth? Like, how do you do it? You'd almost have to have a rule. You can do it once. So if you do it after your fourth year, you can't do it as a fifth, even if you do come back. So I think, unfortunately, we have to acknowledge some of that. I still don't think you should do it for the opener because there's no way you can honor, just use Earl Little because Ryan used him in the bite that we played earlier in the show. There's no way that you can honor Earl Little for what he's achieved as a Buckeye when it's his first time ever being a Buckeye. Really. I mean, that's the thing that's tough is that side of it. So I hope they kind of rethink that and maybe find last home game before the Michigan game, pick that one as your one to honor him. If they had any sort of like conversation about the schedule, I would do it for a night game if you ever have a night game, but who knows if you're actually going to have one this year on the schedule here in old Columbus Town. Time for three things on a Monday. Hit it, fellas.
One, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
As with most things, my intentions were good. So the one thing Beamsy wanted to do the last weekend is he wanted us all to go play golf. That's what he was hoping for. And so I was going to go Friday, but then it was kind of a long day, so we skipped Friday. Then Saturday, I was looking at him like, all right, we should go right now. But then we got into this restaurant that my wife wanted to go to for like the last supper of summer, and so we had to bail on it. Fast forward to Sunday, rained out. No golf for Beamsy.
So, sorry, buddy. That's on me. I got to do a better job of looking at the extended forecast before I make such a rash decision on a Saturday. That's a bad job out of me.
First thing for me is staying in the golf realm. I do have an update from the Jeff Thidoff quasi-guest celebrity invitational after eight holes. So they're going to play 36 today up in Mount Vernon. Ryan Baker is leading.
You better damn well win it if you're going to go to Mount Vernon and play golf with Tito.
So there's that. If he's going to come back, you better come back with a win.
They're in Mount Vernon?
Chapel Hill.
Playing 36 holes of golf on a Monday.
He's going to be sore tomorrow when he comes back in.
Oh, my God.
And wringing out his socks, probably.
Yeah.
First thing for me, I made a huge mistake this past week. I didn't pay enough attention to the radar because I've been on a journey for the past 2 years trying to grow grass in my backyard. And man, would this have been a good week to just throw down some seed.
would have suited you quite well. You had to throw down a little of it with all of this rain that we're having. Number two for me. So this started on Friday. Like NBC went over to my in-law's house to like help his grandpa with the project. So yeah, I've been with my wife almost 20 years now. Like I know what helping her father with projects are, and I'm more than happy to do it. But whatever the estimated time is, add tenfold. Like you're never going to get done anywhere close in what is the estimated time. All day, he was down there for several hours Friday. He's back today. It's going to be a full day. He's got football practice tonight. He is compensated, I think probably a little bit too richly, but nevertheless, he is compensated. Needless to say, I'm just glad it's not me. I'm just glad that I got a project doesn't fall on me. Can you come over and help me with a little project? I'm glad that I've graduated out of helping my father-in-law with little projects.
I saw this. This will be my second thing in my email inbox from the Heisman Trophy Committee. They're giving the fans a vote.
Really?
This fall, the Heisman Hopefuls is what the project's called, a data, storytelling, and fan voting platform aimed at expanding the conversation about the award given to the most outstanding player in college football. So they are going to feature official player data and regularly updated EA College Sports Football player rankings. And so over the course of the season, fans are going to get to vote first, second, and third. It'll culminate at the end of the season with one fan vote for this. From this for the award given to the most outstanding player in the sport.
So just so I'm clear, the fans are getting a collective vote?
Yep.
Oh, here it is. I see it. Yeah, we just got that about an hour and 10 minutes ago.
Look through it a little bit because I was unsure if it was going to be just a fun thing. Like, oh, well, so-and-so wins the award. Like, Jeremiah wins the award, but Julian Sane won the Heisman Hopefuls.
Yeah, right.
Part of it. But no, this is all going to culminate in one vote.
Huh. Okay. They got to get it moved. We got to do it.
They have to do it after the playoff.
That's the next thing.
Second thing for me, a big miss for me this past weekend. All my lacrosse guys out at a sixes tournament. We do these all throughout the fall. Usually they start up in September, though, because in August, non-contact period for the coaches. So they're not able to go.
Oh, okay.
Are
you doing sixes now in August?
They're supposed to start. We've always done them like September, October, and November.
Yeah, right.
Because obviously the coaches can't be there in August.
Right.
So obviously we paid for our team to go there, and we had some parents on the sidelines so they could go and do what we always do, which is all these sixes tournaments. But they started them earlier this year. So myself and my brothers, who we all coach with, not able to go to the first couple rounds of sixes, but we paid for the team to go out there. So hopefully they played good. They won some games. I would have loved to see my players in person, though.
Finally, number three for me, shout out to my guy Greg at Toy Barn. Got a fun car back in December. Had some things that needed to be kind of sorted out on it. He was just incredible all the way through the whole process, and just a good dude. So if you're in the market, that's a good dude to go see. No endorsement in terms of they're not compensating me for it. I bought a car from him on my own, but just he was awesome. So really, really good job. And if you're in the market, he's a good guy to look for.
Final thing for me. So we're going to continue our NFC West conversation tomorrow with the Seahawks and the 49ers. Former Seattle running back Robert Turbin will join us at 11:30.
Yeah.
So I remember him as a Seahawks player. Wikipedia mm-hmm. says he had a hot cup of coffee on the Cleveland Browns. I do not remember that. But I remember Turbin as a Seahawks running back.
Yeah.
Final thing for me. Hang on next. Rothman and Ice out at the Medallion at the Medallion Club Challenge. They've got a golf outing they're live from, benefiting the James. So hang on for them live from out there.
Oh, that'll be fun. Perfect. You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on the